Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Divs. As I mentioned last week, we will be coming back with a new episode on the 12th, which is next week. So this week, we'll be posting a rerun, which is Black Panther Wakanda Forever. We hope you enjoy this episode, and we thank every single one of you who has stuck with us through this. And as I mentioned, we will be back next week with the Owl House Season 3. Thank you!
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. So glad to have you with us. I'm Cassidy, and as always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Divs.
Hey guys.
This week, we are super
Oh
excited
my
to
God.
get into our topic because it's something that I think we've been anticipating for a very long time. And
Yep.
this past week, we've just basically been talking about it nonstop. But
Yes.
if it wasn't already obvious by the title, this week we are discussing the latest entry into the MCU, Wakanda Forever, which is, as of our recording this, it's only been out like officially less than a week, I think. So it's like very recent, very new. And I know we say this all the time with all of our episodes, but for this one especially, given how recent this is, if you haven't seen the movie and if you don't want to be spoiled, this is probably not the episode to listen to because we have so much to say. All good things. It was phenomenal.
It was. I cannot
And
say that enough. This movie was absolutely phenomenal. But, we're gonna get into everything, guys. So, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's in theaters. Go watch it and come back because, oh my God, all the feels, just everything.
it's a really amazing movie, and I think not all movies can do that thing where it's like they have a fairly long runtime, but then you don't feel it. I think Endgame was kind of like that, where it was like, wasn't it over 3 hours? And like, I didn't feel like it was 3 hours long. This movie is just under 2 hours and 45 minutes. It's like 2 hours and 41 or something, I want to say. But you really, or at least I didn't feel like I was watching an almost 3 hour movie. It goes by very quickly. And it's, again, it's such a phenomenal movie. It's like
Oh my
very
God.
emotional. So bring tissues if you haven't seen it and you're planning to see it. But yeah, no, there's so much to talk about. So I know we're very excited, but like we said, just keep in mind that we will be getting into spoilery territory. So listener discretion is advised. But as always, for everyone who sticks around, thank you. I know we say this all the time, but we really can't understate how much we appreciate everybody who listens to us. So thank you.
I absolutely thank you guys. Now let's get started with this, Kat, because this movie deals with some pretty heavy stuff right off the bat, right? Because as we all know, unfortunately, Chadwick Boseman passed away in 2020. So now this cast and crew had the Herculean task, I would say, of basically making another Black Panther movie without the person who embodied the role so perfectly that you cannot think of anyone else to, take up that role or that mantle at this point. Because again, Chadwick Boseman was phenomenal. The minute you saw him as T'Challa, it was him. It was just him, like I cannot state that enough. But unfortunately, he passed away in 2020, and again, that left not only Marvel but also the cast and crew to deal with this incredible loss and how to build this franchise from there. Not to talk about this from a money-making perspective, but it means so much for in terms of representation too. For Black people specifically, that a role model like T'Challa existed. And this movie literally had the monumental Herculean task of, filling those his gigantic shoes, as it were. And it starts with something really heavy again, like where you see he's not all this. T'Challa's off screen at this point. Shuri's like very furiously working to synthesize or artificially create the heart-shaped herb to help her ailing brother. And it literally hurts me when the first line is like, "Bast, listen to my prayer. If my brother survives this, I will never doubt you again." That's what she says. And it's painful to hear her say that because that's all she ever wants. And unfortunately, she fails because there's no saving him. And again, the tears start right there, let's be honest. What did you think of that?
Yeah, it's definitely, again, like you said, the tears start from the beginning. It's a very moving scene. And also, I think, like, just in general, this movie is like a very
Correct.
moving tribute to Chadwick as an actor and as a
Yes.
person.
Yes.
And I know, I think we talked about it when we did last week's episode, which was the first movie. He was just, like you said, so iconic and so perfect for the role that it's really hard to imagine that there is or that there can be a story without him. But the opening scene is really, really moving. But also, I was just genuinely surprised because they adapted kind of his real life situation to kind of suit the character. But also, I mean, I don't know if it counts coming from me because obviously I'm not his family or anything. But to me, it felt like it was like a respectful way of kind of sending off his character without kind of making it seem like they were just kind of playing what had happened to him in real life, for the sake of just like advancing the story. So, but no, the opening scene where Shuri's kind of like praying at first and kind of like bargaining, like, just let me do this one thing and like, I promise, like, I'll do X, Y, Z, whatever. Like, that I think is something that anybody who's experienced loss has definitely felt. I know I've done that. Like, when you try to process it, it's like you can't process it sometimes, and you just start bargaining. You're like, if you do one thing for me, universe, like, I'll do whatever you want, like that type of thing. So
Yeah,
I'm sure
that's
a
what
lot of
this
people
is.
can empathize with that. But no, I mean, again, it was a very moving scene, and it also, like I said, to me felt like it was done respectfully in the sense that like they had T'Challa kind of mirror what Chadwick had gone through, but they didn't. To me, didn't feel like they were doing it in a way that felt disrespectful or like they were kind of making like a mockery of what had happened.
No,
So
absolutely. That's like a difficult line to walk as far as I can as far as again, it's really hard to toe that line if you know what I'm saying, right? Because like
it
it's
is,
not simple, and they're trying to be respectful of this person that they were close to and lost in real life for a story. And so I think someone on Tumblr made a very good point that they like the fact that T'Challa didn't die a superheroic death. He died of something that literally could not be helped. Like nothing in that and the fact that it mirrored what happened to Chadwick made it even more profound. And I agree with them in that scenario. And it's really sad that they had to send him off. And then again, I love how this movie deals with grief because it's, and we've said this countless times, grief is different. Grief and trauma are different for every single person. They deal with it differently, they have different feelings about it. And that is showcased so clearly in this movie when you see how both Ramonda and Shuri deal with T'Challa's death. But before we get into that, I have to mention the beautiful way they paid homage to Chadwick Boseman in the Marvel logo for this movie because, oh my God, like I said, the tears started right in the beginning, and this made it even worse. You're like, oh my God, this is like.
Think too, something that this movie does really well, which I think Marvel movies have done like a couple of them I think have done before, but it's usually in like really key scenes, like the music just cuts.
Oh,
And this
God.
movie utilizes that so well in the sense that like it's already emotional. I think if you've enjoyed the first movie, if you feel any sort of attachment or connection to the characters or whatever from the first movie, coming into the second movie when you start seeing things like this logo where it's, you know, it's all just scenes of Chadwick as T'Challa and there's like no music, it's
No
just
music.
silent and like the logo comes on. It just, I don't know, something about it just hits that much harder. It's
It
just
does. Oh my God.
yeah, it's just it, I don't know quite what like how to describe it and
No.
why it kind of elicits the reaction that it does, but I remember like even knowing that that was coming because I think that was like something that people had mentioned
Yep,
even before the movie released. Yeah, so like even knowing that, I mean,
I wasn't
still
prepared
crying in
for
the
it.
theater.
I was not
Yeah, it's
prepared
still,
for
it's very emotional.
it. Absolutely. But then you get to the funeral, which is again, you see how I like how they made it a celebration of his life, because everyone there, no one's, I mean, of course they're mourning. I'm not saying they're not mourning, but they're basically throwing a party to say we are going to celebrate our king's life and we're going to send him off with a bang or something like that. We're not going to be sad about this constantly or something like that, which I really appreciated. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's bittersweet because I think too, like on the one hand, kind of similar to I guess the way Wakanda's traditions or culture, whatever, dictate. I guess like they, wasn't it a quote in What If where T'Challa says like we don't believe. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like it loosely he says something to the effect of like they don't believe that death is the end,
I think he says
and
that both in Civil War and in What If.
yeah, I'm probably just remembering What If because that was the most recent thing in it. Unfortunately, the last thing he also did for the character,
Voiced. Oh my
but
God. I get.
I know. It really sometimes like it gets you when you think about it. But yeah, I remember like hearing that quote and thinking like on the one hand I understand that, but then also kind of watching the funeral procession or whatever you want to call it,
No,
and then
yeah, I know
watching
what
the
you
way the
mean.
people like celebrated it, but then the way Shuri was kind of not
I
really like I guess
know, it
processing
gets
everything. And that was
to
also, yeah,
you.
it was also so relatable because again, like for the people, T'Challa was their king, and as much as they might have loved him, he was somebody I'm assuming that was kind of a little bit removed from their life, not fully like
Right? I think so.
in. And he was like a figurehead, and of course, you know, they can respect a figurehead, have whatever connection they have, but it's not like Shuri. I mean, that was her brother, like her, I'm assuming her best friend, and like,
The
you
one
know,
who
that
taught
like
her
that's family.
everything,
Yeah. And
like
so like
the
to
one
see
she
other
grew
people
up
kind of
with.
celebrate it. Yeah, to see other people celebrate him, I'm sure must have been like very bittersweet because on the one hand, I think it goes to show just how like beloved of a figure he was and how much of an impact he had or how much his people respected him, because obviously, you know, all of Wakanda was like celebrating and honoring him. But then also for her, it's like that's her brother. How can she like get any sense of joy from what these people are doing because he's still dead, like
It's
unfortunately.
bittersweet.
So
I get what you're
yeah, it's
saying
very
completely.
bittersweet. And I think bittersweet is like a really like
I think that's a
good
theme
way
for
to
this
describe this
movie.
movie.
I think that's a theme for this movie, to be honest. And we'll get to that because there's so many amazing moments in this movie. I cannot just like I can't. But I think it was either Ryan Coogler or Letitia Wright who basically said that, I think it was Ryan Coogler in an interview. He said, Shuri has never known life without her brother. That's, he's pretty much been there in her life as long as she's known anything. And so now for that person to be suddenly removed from her life is just devastating. And of course, it's not that Ramonda is not mourning. She is. That is her son. But it's like
I think,
everyone deals with it differently, I feel, and that's pretty much what I can take away from that at this point.
Yeah, I think also with Shuri, it was, I think, a sense of like guilt almost. Because that opening
Yes.
scene, like, she's the one who's trying to like find a solution and solve it. And it's not her fault. But in that moment, I think people kind of just get
I
absorbed
know
in this
what you're
idea that it's
getting
like,
at.
it's up to me. Like, I
I
have
know
to,
what you're
like, this is
getting
my
at.
responsibility, or like, I have to do this, or like, I'm the only one that can solve it. And also for her, especially, you know, being the
A
amazing genius that she
prodigy,
is, I'm sure,
yeah.
yeah, I'm sure she felt like she could tackle this problem and potentially solve it too if she just had enough time, which was unfortunately the one thing that they didn't have. So when
Yes.
Raimondo comes in and she's like, "Your brother is now with the ancestors," for her, I'm sure that must have been a huge blow, because she was not like letting anything stop her. Like, she was just like, "I just need to think, I need to like focus, and like, I need to do this, I have to do this." And like, failure was not an option.
Yeah,
But
it wasn't.
unfortunately, in these situations, it's not as simple as saying, like, I'm just gonna keep powering through, and like, there's nothing I can't figure out if I just like apply myself. I think this was unfortunately a little bit beyond her, and I think she knew that, and I think some part of her probably was aware that it wasn't her fault, and there was
But I
really no
don't
reason
think,
for
no, I
her to take
agree
the
with
blame.
you. But
But it's hard
we,
to accept that in that
it's,
moment.
yeah, no, I completely understand. I think I know exactly what you're getting at, but that's for another podcast altogether, dude. Like, seriously. But I completely understand what you're saying because in that moment, I think she feels responsible for not having found a solution in time. And I think that's why she's really taking it harder than Ramonda did. Because and I want to talk about Ramonda here for a minute and Angela Bassett. God damn it, this woman blew me away with this movie. Like, I swear to
This
God.
whole cast,
Yeah.
I swear, like, awards are performative. They don't really do much. They don't mean anything. But I swear, if this cast does not get every award under the sun for their performance, especially like the core cast,
Yeah,
like,
like
what
no,
is Hollywood even doing? Like,
yeah,
all
like
of them. I mean, I know that like there's some sort of like stigma around superhero movies and
oh, come
whatever, but
on, let that go for this
like
movie because
this was
this
like
I don't
another
even know
level.
what to
Like, it's
say. I
just.
don't even know what to say because their performances just blew me away. Like, it's just incredible. That again, I want to talk about the scene that you see Angela Bassett in where she's at the United Nations, and it's just in again, she blew me away with this because she gives a speech here where she mentions that there was an attack by member states of the UN at a Wakandan outreach facility to steal vibranium. Thankfully, the Wakandans had security in place to make sure that no one stole their vibranium. But the speech that she gave and the way she gave it, I was blown away by it. And I will not shut up about how this woman deserves all the awards for how she portrayed Queen Ramonda in this movie. I just cannot say
I
that
think they
enough.
all do. I mean, I think too, part of it is that because they were coming from like a very real, like emotional place, like they were obviously acting to a certain extent, but I think some of it was also just them
I'm
expressing, I'm
feeling
sure, what they
this.
actually felt. Yeah. Because I mean, for them too, it's not like, I mean, we think of Chadwick Boseman as like an actor and like a public figure, but for them, I'm sure he was more than that. He was also just like a friend and like a family member and like a
Yeah,
coworker, like all these
exactly.
different things like wrapped up in one. And so it must have been like, I think the world mourned him, but for, you know, for them as his co-stars, and I think, you know, even his family, I'm sure it was a lot different.
So much more personal, I'd say. Definitely, definitely. And again, that speech, I just, dude, she blew me away. Like, you sit there rooted to your spot. I rooted to the spot, like on the edge of your seat when she's talking that way to these people, and like, and she's just like, I'm being very generous here by just bringing these people who tried to steal my country's resources. And the next time this happens, I will not be so generous. And I love how she literally said, I'm aware that you're trying to find vibranium outside of Wakanda, and I wish you luck with it. If you find it outside, I have no concern for that. But if you if you try to steal from our outreach centers and try to take our resources, I will not be so generous the next time. I love that. It was
Yeah.
amazing.
Also, I think this is like getting ahead a little bit, but I always found it very funny in like a kind of dark way that all these nations were like, Wakanda needs to demilitarize and this and that. And then there's a really good quote that Everett Ross says like later on in the movie when he talks about
Yes.
like what would happen had another country
Yeah,
gotten a
no,
hold
I
of
know.
vibranium
Yeah,
first. And
yes.
it, like that was my reaction too. I'm like, you guys keep talking like this big thing about, Wakanda needs to like demilitarize and do this and that to like make the other countries feel comfortable. But they've been this way for a very, very long time. And not once have they unprovoked just gone out and attacked. And like, you can make an argument for like, well, they could, they might do this, they might do that. But it's like in 300 years or whatever, however long they've had access to vibranium, not once have they done that. And I don't know, it just felt very interesting that like all these countries were talking about like the potential for Wakanda to do it, and like that was also kind of in a way what Killmonger was getting at in the first movie, that Wakanda was sitting on top of all these resources and they weren't doing anything. And then in this movie now all these other nations are like, well, they could do something and we would never be ready. And it's also like, I get that, but again, they haven't unprovoked attacked anybody. They haven't really done anything to like threaten another world power beyond just like exist. So, I don't know, it felt kind of funny that all these other nations were like, we need
And
them to
very
like,
hypocritical, like you said. I
yeah.
agree with you. For sure. And right from this, I also want to go, I also want to talk about what happens next, because she did mention that they were looking for vibranium outside of Wakanda, which again is their business. Like really, if they go to some neutral territory and find it, that's completely their business. And we do see a crew in the Atlantic Ocean that found vibranium, but this is when we're introduced to a new threat. And I want to talk about that because I found, dude, that siren that the song that they sing to lure these people out is haunting. Like you can,
It
oh my God,
is.
I mean, I heard it the first time, but then I watched this movie the second time. I was like, oh my God, this is haunting. Like literally, it was so crazy. Like, oh my God. And I
Yeah,
love,
also,
it's just
I just
amazing.
want to say it's very humorous to me that this movie is releasing right before another really big movie with more blue people. And I remember being in the theater watching like these, like the first time you see it, you don't really know. Like, I mean, I think if you've seen the trailers, you know who they are. But if you don't know anything, you're like, oh, look, blue people. And I cannot tell you how many people who saw that scene in the theater immediately went, oh, we got a preview to Avatar too early. And I was just like, yeah, kinda.
Well.
But yeah, no, that scene was really cool. But also, I have a couple of questions about this because it's like, did nobody think to look for vibranium outside of Wakanda sooner?
I
Like,
mean,
why is
that's
it
the
only
thing.
happening now?
See, that's the thing. They didn't know that. That's a good
I think,
question.
I mean, it's if I had to answer it, my guess would be that they probably attempted to find it. They didn't have the resources or like the capability to do
Probably.
it until now. Yeah, I was watching like these people talk about like vibranium outside of Wakanda, and it's like you literally did not need to like threaten this station or like do anything to Wakanda. You could have just
Well,
looked for vibranium elsewhere yourself, but
if only they had that much sense, yeah. But I do want to, again, that song is so haunting that I literally, you're on the edge of your seat watching this happen because they're just like,
Mm-hmm.
They're not, I don't know if they're killing them or just disarming them. They're just like jump into the water. That's it.
I mean, I think it's honestly as good as a death sentence because they're in an oil rig in like the middle of nowhere. And I mean, they're not even on an oil rig. They're just on like a really big
They're in
research
the
vessel
ocean
and then the
somewhere.
middle of the
Yeah,
ocean.
exactly.
Yeah. So like it's as good as like killing them. I mean, they're not actually like hitting them or like physically touching them, but just like hypnotizing them, whatever you want to call it, and having these people throw themselves overboard is as good as a death sentence. And honestly, I will say it's a little hard to like be upset that that's happening because
It's very nuanced. I will give it
it's
that.
yeah, it's very nuanced, but like when you like on the surface, it just seems like okay, here's a bunch of like people threatening an underwater nation or like this, you know, secret power or whatever, and they're just doing what they think they need to do to like
Protect
protect
their
themselves and their
territory.
home. Yeah. So it's like it's a little bit hard to kind of fault them for their aggressive reaction, but then it's not quite the same as saying like they, I don't know, it's very nuanced, like you said. It's hard to fault them, but then it's also hard to in the same breath be like, oh, they're absolutely right and like they should have done exactly what they did. It's like maybe there's a better way that doesn't involve quite so much bloodshed on either side,
We'll get to that. There's a
That's
lot
yeah,
of,
that's easier said than
like,
done.
it is easier said than done. But I do want to get to one of the most heartbreaking scenes in this movie. And there's so many that it's hard to count, let's be honest, right? Because Shuri's like hard at work in her lab still, because she's drowned herself in work to not, deal with her grief, to be honest. You even hear that Nakia has been trying to contact her, and Shuri has not been accepting this woman's calls as well. And again, Ramonda is trying to help her with this, but she can't, because everyone has to process this in their own time, in their own way, pretty much. But she does try to get her out of her lab, and like, there's something we need to do. And I love this conversation that they have, because Ramonda's like, we're going to burn the funeral clothes. This basically signifies that we're ending our mourning period and we're releasing this, basically. And when I d and she literally says, you need to come to this place to sit with yourself for a while and just, think about what's happened and deal with it, and doing this will help you. And I love how Shuri's just like, that's what you think, you may think that it brought you comfort that he was there for you at that time when you did this, but that's just something that your mind made up to give you some comfort. I don't think that it really happened. And again, I love how she approaches this with logic, and she can't find logic in her brother dying and her brother just being gone. And I also love how she's like, if I think too much about my brother, I won't just burn these clothes. I'll burn this world and everyone in it. I can't deal with that. What did you think of that? Because, oh my God,
Yeah,
that hurt. Like, that
that's,
really hurt.
I mean, again, there's just so many scenes in this movie that hurt, just because again it's a very emotional thing, and I mean, you know, even though I think for people like you and me, we're so far removed from
We are,
these
yeah.
people as
But
like
we felt
actors, like
that, like, oh
yeah,
my
you really do feel it. And I think that's why like this movie just it really like hits you so hard, because
God.
part of it is these people acting, but then another part of it is just like them expressing, I'm sure, like what they've naturally felt as a result of Chadwick's passing. So it's just like that scene in particular, like when I saw that the first time, I was just like
Yeah, but
immediately just like sobbing in the
yeah,
dark in my
oh my,
theater, like
right?
it's
Yes.
because it's I think everybody who's lost or anybody who's lost somebody has kind of felt that to a certain
angry.
extent that it's like,
It felt
yeah, it's like
angry
it's
and
not fair.
upset
The
at it.
universe took so and so from me, whether it was too soon or too quickly, whatever the case was. And you do kind of, I think, start feeling like, to a certain
That it's
extent, it's like you
unfair.
against the world. And yeah.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
So yeah, like that scene especially, but also again because like her brother was her world. I mean, like not that she didn't have interests or, whatever outside of him, but
But they
he's
were so
family, he's her brother.
close. Yeah,
Right. And
it's
so it's like and even again, like within the context of the movie, this happens like very suddenly, and it happens the way it did in real life too, where T'Challa doesn't tell anybody, and it's very quick, very sudden, very unexpected, and they're kind of
Grappling
scrambling
with it,
to,
to be honest.
yeah, and then yeah, like initially it's like scrambling to figure out like what can we do to like prolong this and put it off, potentially cure it, whatever. And then when that's not an option, it's like, what can we do like right now? And then unfortunately when he dies, then it's like definitely like you said, like just grappling with it and like what this means for them as a family and then as a country and all of that. But yeah, Shuri is saying like it won't just be these clothes I burn, like I want to burn the world. That's like it's a very powerful and moving quote because I think it's true for anybody who lost somebody. I think you kind of feel like
Oh my
it's not
God.
fair, the universe took them from me, and you start feeling
Again,
very bitter.
grief. It's yes, because like I think someone made a good point of this, saying that the overarching theme of phase four, and we'll probably discuss this in another episode, would be grief and how people deal with grief. I mean, if you look at WandaVision, you see Wanda grappling with losing everything. And you see Peter losing May, and now Shuri losing T'Challa. It's like, oh my God, so much pain here. That phase four has been pain, guys. Phase four has literally been pain. But
It
then,
has, yeah. I mean, it's yeah, like that's the thing too, I think, where it's like, grief is different for everybody, and people's response to it is different.
Oh
But
my God,
it's really
yes.
hard to like. I don't think there's any way like you can compare grief and be like, oh, like my grief is more than yours or whatever. It's all, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all just grief. And phase four has given or shown us so many characters just grieving so many different things, whether it was, like the death of other people that they were like. We're close to loved ones, whatever, or just like the death of, to a certain extent, themselves too. Because I think certain characters were kind of forced into positions that maybe they didn't really want to
Oh
be
my
in.
God, that is Shuri. Like, dude, literally, that's definitely her. Because right now, she's forced into probably or possibly taking over at some point, right? Because she's. Oh, God, it's
Yeah, I
not.
mean, there was a lot on her shoulder. Well, not just her, but her and Ramonda, because one, I mean, I can't remember like why exactly Ramonda couldn't lead, but I know like in the interim she was like standing in and she said she would lead until a new successor had been chosen and all of that. But it's like they don't have like a official ruler, like they have an interim ruler. They don't have like a protector because the Black Panther, like T'Challa, was the Black Panther, and
And the
unfortunately, he's
heart-shaped
gone.
herb is gone too, so it's not, it doesn't work like
Yeah, so
that.
it's like they have like, I mean, those are two monumental problems for them, unfortunately. And on top of it all, like kind of the icing on the cake that nobody asked for, like all these other nations are like, well, Wakanda should do this, Wakanda should do that, and it's like, I that's why I also like as tempting as it must be for them to kind of feel like, okay, Wakanda might be in like a more, unstable position. I love when Ramonda was at the UN convention or like
Oh
that
my
kind of
God.
conference, and she was like, you might be thinking that now is the time to strike, but like we are not, like just because we've lost all these people doesn't mean we're like down for the
Weak or
count. And she was
defenseless.
basically like, yeah, I love how she was just like warning them, and she's like, don't underestimate us,
I
because
love that. Again, she blew
yeah.
me away. But damn it, dude. Like, you're on
Angela
the edge
Bassett
of your
and like
seat when you're watching this. I can't state this enough. Everyone, the entire cast in this movie just knocked it out of the park like nobody's business.
I know. That's why I'm just like,
I
give
can't.
them all the awards. Again, I know awards are more or less meaningless now, but it's just, to me, it's like mind-boggling that anybody can watch this and then just be like, eh. Like, how? I mean, I was like, I mean, I was sobbing the whole time. Well, not the whole time, because there was a lot of like very like touching, lighthearted moments that I think kind of bring a smile to your face,
Oh
even though
God,
you're
we'll
kind of
get
like
to
crying.
that.
But it was such a like a moving tribute to both the actor and the character, and then to kind of see the mantle being passed on, I just thought it was very beautiful. And I think somebody online, I want to say it was like through Tumblr or something, and I apologize that I don't have the source. This is not my idea or like my words, but somebody made a really interesting comment about how like grief is not linear, and this movie
Oh,
does a really good job
yes.
of showing that,
Don't do that
because
yet.
Shuri is like, she's grieving, but she's not, it's not like she's going from point A to point B. Like, there's bits and pieces where you feel like, okay, maybe she's making some progress, and she's not, like, she's kind of starting to let it go, and then she kind of gets like sucked back in, and then you see her kind of grappling with some really tough things and having to make some really tough decisions. And then, you know, there's instances where she like kind of just gives in to what she's feeling, and then she
Oh,
goes
we'll
kind
get
of
to that
dark.
again. I mean, the main cast has basically knocked us out of the park, and we'll get to it,
Oh my
right?
God, they've
I
done a
cannot take this
phenomenal
movie.
job. Like, yeah, it's like, this is just gonna be us just like singing their praises for,
Wait,
I don't know,
yes.
until Black Panther 3.
Like, dude,
And even then.
I mean, seriously, they did such a good job with this because, like, again, this is when you see Namor. And he basically comes in and tells them that a vibrant some person in that the CIA basically had a vibranium detector which they dropped in the ocean and detected vibranium near his kingdom within in the depths of the ocean, and he's basically like, get me the scientist who built this vibranium detector, or I will attack you guys. Basically, that's what he says, and which is like unfair because he blames them.
I mean, yeah, I think it's a little bit unfair, because he's like, the way he frames it is like, well, when T'Challa like revealed Wakanda's secrets, it put my like nation in danger too, which is, you know, like, it's a valid thing to say, but also like, T'Challa didn't know that you guys were a country or like a nation, so I don't know that it's entirely fair to put it all on him. But also, my thing was just like, Wakanda is the most technologically advanced nation within the MCU.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So I never understood like why they didn't think that Wakanda could protect them if vibranium had been discovered. Because again, like, you know, they've got the technology, they've got like the cool gadgets, whatever you want to call them. They have like their own supply of vibranium. So I never understood why Talo Khan wasn't just like, let's team up together and then just destroy these machines that this like CIA or whatever is using to find vibranium, and then we don't have to worry about like doing anything. But also, I think part of it is like, it's personal, because for Namor, obviously, like, he's kind of got a vendetta against land dwellers, so I think it went beyond just like saving the vibranium for themselves. And I think at the same time, you kind of wanted to like ensure that not only were they preventing other people from finding vibranium, they were like saving or like preventing their people from being threatened or whatever.
It's weird because I think he wants to make sure that no one ever builds a machine like that again. And it's really interesting how he goes about doing that. But this is why I say it's nuanced, because I get where this guy is coming from. I really do. Because once these people find vibranium, they'll do anything to get it. Like, it's not that they have any, I don't think they have a conscience when it comes to stuff like this. They're like, if they find vibranium, they'll take it and they'll be like, This is ours now. We're going to use it the way we want, kind of deal, you know? And that's exactly what Namor is afraid of. And he, but he, I feel like he's going about this in a very black and white way. Like, in the sense that either you do this or I attack you, kind of thing. There's no middle ground for him, unfortunately. And
Yeah, I think
yeah.
part of it too is I feel like maybe he felt he had to approach it that way because, unfortunately, when you learn of his backstory, I think there's a couple of instances that we see, and I'm sure there's probably more that's implied and not really explicitly shown or mentioned on screen. But I'm sure there was like this whole thing of he didn't really belong on land, but he didn't quite entirely belong in the sea either. And so it was like really hard for him, I think, for him, like as a person or being himself to kind of find a middle ground. And so like if he wanted a place, he kind of had to go and make it himself essentially. So I think I wonder if like any of that had like an impact on him then popping up now and being like you said, like it's you have two options and nothing in between. And yeah, it was really, I think, interesting to see that he was just like, you're gonna help me or we go to war. And it's like there's a really big gap between help and war. Like you couldn't have found like you said, some middle ground to like try and do this another way. But again, I think for him it's also very personal, and it part of it is like it's as much about protecting his people as it is like making the perceived aggressors, not that they're not entirely not aggressors either, but like surface dwellers pay too.
I
So
think he wants to make a statement, like if you try something like this again, this is what will happen to you, kind of thing, you know? But he does, but this is when we actually get to smile a little in this movie because we're introduced to one of the best characters in this movie, and that is Riri Williams. Let's talk about Riri because, again, Dominique Thorne did such an amazing job with Riri. You fall in love with her pretty much,
Oh
so
my
let's talk
God,
about
yes.
it.
I mean, to be fair, I think for me personally, I'm easily amused or entertained. So I feel like I fall in love with characters very easily. But no, she is so much fun. I'm so excited for Ironheart. I have all these things I want to see, and I haven't shut up about them.
I
And you've been on the
know.
receiving end for a lot of it. But no,
I
Riri
love
is
it. I
great.
need more.
She's such a breath of fresh air. And like, yeah, I needed Ironheart yesterday. I can't
Right?
wait till 2023. Or whenever the show is coming out, like I need it now. And I know like there's been some debate about whether or not they should have introduced her in this movie or just given her own like introduction in her actual TV show, but I'm really glad that they
Well,
introduced it in this movie just because it made for like a really hilarious scene. But also I just love the dynamic of like her and Shuri, and I think also having like somebody like Riri kind of allow Shuri to focus on something that's not just her grief. And
Oh
I
my
think
God, yes.
in a way she kind of needed that because like the instances when she's with Shuri and I mean when she's with Riri and she's like talking to her and like like they're kind of like playing off of each other and talking about things. It's not that she's like forgotten her brother or that he's no longer with them or she's just like miraculously like let go of all of her grief, but she's not sitting in it quite so much.
No,
And
I
so she's not like,
exactly.
it's not
He's not wallowing
like,
in it in that moment.
yeah.
You
And
know what I'm
worse too, I
saying?
think it, or maybe what, that's not the right way to phrase it, but she's not letting it fester, which is, I think, like the really tough thing. And I think there's a tendency to kind of like just sit in your guilt and, or,
Oh,
and
God.
grief and all of that, and then just like let it fester and come to this point of like breaking, and then unfortunately people can react in ugly ways. And so I think those moments when she's with Riri, it's
It's
again, it's not like
nice
she's forgotten all of them, but yeah, it's like a nice kind of she's not
departure
dwelling on it so
from.
much. Yeah.
No, I agree. But I want to talk about how they find Riri because oh my God, because Shuri and Okoye are like a pair, okay? They're like a chaotic duo that I would love to see more of. It's like Okoye is this babysitter, and Shuri's just like, sup? I'm gonna fuck shit up now. You're not gonna be able to do anything about it. Bye. It's just that dynamic, and I absolutely love it. And I love the fact that these two find Ross, who's just trying to live his best life.
Yeah, I mean,
Saw
I
a
love
thing
that
on
he's like.
Tumblr, and I saw a thing on Tumblr where it was like, where it's just like the one line was like, Everett Ross just trying to stay fit. Okoye and Shuri, sup colonizer, time to commit treasons against your country. And then the tags,
Yeah.
one of the tags was Wakanda loves one white man, and they're going to milk him for everything he's got. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, pretty much. But also, I love too how, like, there's a bit where he's like, well, you know, I'm risking a lot just talking to you. And Shuri's like, come on, man. Like, you owe me. You owe my brother. And then Ross just can't say anything to that. Because it's true. I mean,
It
they
is
did
true.
save his life. And, but also, I what I love too is that I think he realized that despite maybe whatever, like, loyalty he had to, you know,
The CIA
like the
or
CIA or
whatever.
whatever, I think having been in Wakanda, having seen what it's like and what the people are like and like what they're up against or what they were up against in the first movie, I think he kind of realized that like
He
helping them,
sympathizes with them. He
yeah,
knows
and
what
like
it's
helping
like.
them isn't like a bad thing. Especially because like in this case too, like they haven't really done anything wrong as far as like hurting the CIA in particular, although the
But that's
CIA
the thing.
believes like,
They believe that it's Wakanda, but that's what's causing a lot of problems because like now they're going to try and retaliate thinking it's Wakanda, and that puts Wakanda in a position as such. But what I do love is that they find out that the person who built this vibranium detector is just a 19-year-old kid, a student. And Riri's just such a breath of fresh air.
Oh my God, I love her. I need like
And the interaction between Okoye and Shuri when they try to get into the school is hilarious. I love how Okoye is like, we're in the equivalent of a Wakandan village school. Then Ramonda's like, please tell me it's a professor. And Shuri's just like, no, mom, it's a student. I'm like, what?
I love too when they actually like get into Shuri. I mean, Shuri, when they get into Riri's room, and then she's like having like a little bit of a freak out because you know
A
it's the princess of Wakanda, and like
meltdown.
you know their most decorated general, and like she's like, you need to leave. I have class in 15 minutes. She's just like throw things at them, and Okoye's like, see how they treat like they teach kids to respect their elders here. I'm like.
No, I love how Okoye is like, hey, small girl, you can either come to Wakanda conscious or unconscious. Like,
Yeah, I love how she's also like, oh, I like her.
She does. She likes her spunk, but because Riri is spunky, because Riri's answer to Okoye's quote is like, you need to be more conscious of how you look. Like, girl, please. The woman has a spear. You might want to calm down a little bit. I mean, I love you, but and I love how Shuri's actually laughing at this. She's actually laughing. Like you said, it's not that she's forgotten her brother, but in this moment, she's not wallowing in it or not.
She's not, I think, focusing on it. So it's like her attention's been like redirected to something else. So like she doesn't have to like kind of sit with it for that much longer for like that brief period of time. But no, their meeting is like the greatest thing ever. And I need so much more like of
I need
Riri just
more
like in
Riri
the
content.
MCU.
Oh my
I
God.
just I want everything. And like
Ironheart when? I want that
I
show
know.
like now. Like, oh
I
my
know that
God.
like Phase 4 is obviously building up to like Young Avengers or something, but like I would love to see like Riri and Yelena in a room together. I think that'd be really funny. Or like
Oh
I
my
don't
God,
know,
Riri
like
and MJ. Like, Riri,
I've been saying
MJ,
this,
and
like we
Shuri.
know from the end of like No
No
Way
Way Home.
Home, that Ned
Yeah.
and MJ are set to go to MIT, and I
Yeah.
would just I don't think it would work because I think Riri's a little bit older than MJ,
Like a
like
couple of
in I
years
guess
older.
MCU
Yeah.
canon, yeah. But I would love it if they end up as like roommates, and I would love to see MJ just like help her with her suits and stuff, and I would love to see like Shuri or like Riri or anybody just comment and be like, "You're awfully calm about this whole thing," and then she'd have like deja vu and be like, "I feel like I've done this before, but I don't
Yeah.
know where or like when." And like apart
I
from,
agree.
any sort of like tampering with like the spell from No Way Home, I just feel like Riri and MJ and Shuri would be really good friends.
Oh my God, they
I feel like
would.
they
They
just like
would
get
cause
into
so
trouble
much
together.
chaos.
And like, yeah. And also, I mean, I feel like if we know anything from previous movies, MJ is just very observant. So I feel like she'd like
Like,
catch on very quickly. Like Riri would be like, because she says like there's a whole YouTube account dedicated to like sightings of her, but nobody's been able to like pin her like test runs of the
wait
suit
till
on
MJ gets
her.
to
I feel
MIT.
like
Just
MJ would
wait
just
till
be
MJ
like,
gets to
it's you,
MIT.
obviously, isn't
It's you, isn't it?
it?
And Riri's just like, what? How dare
I'm
you?
not obsessed with you, just
No.
very observant. But no, I would love it if that happened. I feel like it's like
And
a
Shuri would just stand there and be like, it's great. It's great. Keep doing it.
yeah.
It would be
Again,
amazing.
I don't know that it's gonna happen, but for me, like that would be my dream or
It would
like
be
a fantasy. It was just like
awesome.
have the three of them in a room together, maybe throw in Ned too, because I feel like like Ned and MJ have the whole like people in the chair thing going for
Thing
them,
going,
like as part of FOS. So I feel like they could just do the same for Riri because obviously she's gonna need somebody. Like, I mean, not that she's not capable, but like she shouldn't have to do it on her own. And I'm sure they'd love to help. But no, I would love to see that happen. But yeah, I'm so excited for whenever we get like the Young Avengers, and I just want like every combination possible. Like I feel like they would all just get along so well and just cause so
They
much chaos
would.
together,
Yeah.
and like all the adults would just be like tired moms and dads,
They'd be
just
like,
like and their kids or literal children.
we're stuck with kids, literally.
Yeah.
I think that was Okoye with Shuri and Riri because, and I love how Shuri sees Riri and she's just like, yeah, this kid is mine now. I'm taking her under my wing.
Somebody pointed out or like made a really good point that like their like Shuri and Riri's relationship almost kind of mirrors T'Challa's and Shuri's relationship, and so
Yes.
like that too, I think, one, beyond just being like great for Shuri as a character, like in terms of her character arc and what she's going through in this movie, I just think it's just really sweet and wholesome to see, and like they're so much fun together,
Oh my
and I feel like
God.
they'd cause a lot of chaos, and I just
They
want like I will take them
would.
doing like the most mundane things, like it was literally just like them going shopping in like suburban Massachusetts. I will take that because their dynamic is so great, and
It's
like I
so
just I love
great.
it.
I
Yeah,
do
I
too.
love
It's
it.
amazing. It's amazing, really. It's really cool. Again, both Letitia Wright and Dominique Thorne
Oh my
they
God.
blew
Yeah,
me
like
away. They blew me away.
I think that's the thing about like the MCU is just that I feel like beyond just like casting really well, they've also found like actors who can play off of each other really well. Like not just
Right?
now, but like from the beginning, like RDJ and like Don Cheadle or like, like from the beginning, and it works so well. Like I don't know. But yeah, no, like them both as like actresses together, but then like their characters together, I think is like great. And like,
Amazing. And
yeah.
fun fact, guys, Dominique Thorne actually auditioned for Shuri originally, but then got the part of Riri Williams when it came down to it. And I think that was the right choice to make at this point.
Yeah.
I
I
absolutely
also
love it.
find it's really funny how many Marvel like actors have auditioned for one role and then gotten something else. Like I think Tom Hiddleston, he auditioned for Thor and he got Loki, which like now you it's so weird to think that like
Yeah, because you can't imagine anyone else playing Loki now, to be honest with
Yeah,
you.
and I'm blanking on his name. What's the name of the actor who plays Bruno from Miss Marvel?
Matt something.
Yeah,
Oh
I'm
my
blanking on
God.
his last name, but he auditioned for Spider-Man and I think he
Yeah.
said he was like really close to being selected, and then he obviously didn't get it, but like now he's Bruno in Miss Marvel, and so like I just find it really funny how
Gin and
like
tonic. I love
That
him.
is still one of my favorite lines.
It's amazing.
But yeah, I mean, it's just no, this cast again, like, this is just turning into like a praise session because there's not enough good things to say about the cast. Like, they absolutely nailed
Nailed
it
it.
and like
Like, oh my
blew it
God.
out of the water. Like, and I think like they had, like you said, like a Herculean task to just kind of
They did.
even like make a movie. Like, I
Yeah.
feel like making a movie that just like works in any capacity, like after what happened, is such a big
It
deal.
that is
But
an
like to make,
accomplishment in and of itself, but
yeah,
like,
but
oh
to
my
make a movie
God.
of like this caliber and like this quality, and like the whole thing just kind of functions as like a really emotional, moving tribute to both Chadwick as an actor and then his
And
character T'Challa, who
T'Challa,
was so moved,
yeah, oh
like,
my
you know,
God.
such a inspiration and all of that. But then also, it's like such a, like, I think, accurate
I
look at
and
grief and
cathartic
like
and
mourning.
cathartic too, in a way. I think,
Yeah.
dude, I cannot say this enough, that it really portrays grief so well, because it allows Shuri to be angry and messy and just consumed by this thing that
I
she.
think that was the really nice thing too, in the sense, like, I don't know how often you see that on the big screen, and certainly not like, I think Marvel is just now getting into the territory where they're allowing their characters to do that because they have a little bit of time now. Like, I think phases one to
And they've
three, it was
taken
all,
risks.
well, yeah, that too, but like phases one to three, you know, it's all leading up to like the big kind of like
It was
event that
Endgame.
was Infinity
That
War
was,
and Endgame.
yeah, exactly.
But you know, now that like that has passed and they're like kind of starting from the beginning again and setting up the other, you know, big event, they have a little
Multiverse.
bit more time. Yeah. And I think watching some of these characters go through these really like emotional arcs and stuff, like whether it's Wanda or like Yelena or Peter or whoever, it's just been really interesting and kind of like refreshing to see. But I think this movie in particular, like, it's just so like
There's something
raw
about this
almost.
that
I think it's just
basically,
like, it's so like I don't know, it's just,
I don't
it's
know how
like,
to explain it.
yeah,
I
it's really
just.
hard to describe, but I think like the closest I
It
can
was
come
get
to like describing it is just like
it
raw. It's
is raw.
just how you feel and like,
Oh my God, we're getting to that. Oh my God, like, dude, oh my God. Okay. You know what? I want to get to this point because they do get to Riri takes them to their garage so that they can pack up some of her stuff and go back to Wakanda. But unfortunately, not only it's not just them looking for her, it's the CIA too. They found this kid and they want her to build the machine again because the one machine that they had was basically taken by Namor and like placed in Wakanda
Which
somewhere, so
also,
that they.
I just want to point out, like, she says she made that for a class and like she herself
I
didn't
wanted
sell it to them. And
to
I'm
say
like,
that.
who, like, which scummy teacher or like professor was like, oh, the CIA is like looking to exploit one of my students' projects and they're probably offering a lot of money, so I'm gonna get rich quick. It's like, I
Yeah,
mean,
that was
one,
shitty.
I don't think the CIA would have divulged the purposes of it, but if it's a, like, vibranium detector, essentially, like, what else is it gonna do? And I don't know. So yeah, that
I
part
love
just
how
kind of made
this.
me
I
like,
love how Riri was just like, I just built that from a metallurgy class.
yeah,
Like,
like she just did it like casually, like for fun or whatever. And meanwhile, some professor is like, how much money can I make off of this? So yeah,
and
but.
oh my God, yeah, I love Riri, guys. Riri's just, I love her so much.
The
I love her so much. She's insane in the best possible way. And I'm sure she's going to be a menace to society in the best possible way. And I cannot wait to see it.
Oh my God, I am here for it. Like that, like I said, I need all like the combinations of interactions you can get. And then just selfishly, I would just love to see her and MJ together because I just think that'd be so funny. And I feel like MJ's one of those people too who's like, she doesn't have like a big reaction. But
No,
like,
no.
I feel like it would be really funny to see like Riri just be like, I'm gonna get a reaction out of you, and MJ's just like totally
You can
unbothered, like,
try.
been there, done that.
You can try.
And then everybody's like, what do you mean you've been there, done that?
And she's like, I don't know, but I feel like I've been here before.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Feige! What are you doing with that ending? We're still hurting, okay?
I know, I know.
I
I
mean,
need
okay.
like the next I need the next Spider-Man movie, and I need them to put Riri in that too. I just want Riri in like everything.
Oh my God.
But
Back
yeah,
to
no, it's
this,
great.
because oh my God, they have to escape not just the CIA, but people from Talokan as well, because they've come to take the scientists too, despite them having brokered a deal with Queen Ramonda. They're here trying to take this kid, and that's, I'm kind of surprised by that, but oh my God, the Okoye fighting them off had me on the edge of my seat. Like,
Oh my
I
God,
that,
yes.
oh my God, that
I
was
mean, she is
insane,
ridiculously skilled. And again,
right?
kudos to like Danai Gurira for just like everything she's done
Oh my God,
because
I just,
Okoye is like a force of nature.
she
And
blew it out of the park. I cannot say this enough.
yeah.
I will say this about every single cast member in this movie, right? Like, she literally, that she had me at the edge of my seat. The fight choreography, the whole, oh, that entire scene. I was
It was just like phenomenal. Like, that's probably
like,
something that's so overused by now. Like, I feel like
yeah.
we've just said it nonstop since we started,
Yeah, oh my God.
but it's just, yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, what I think was so cool too was that, like, this was the first time we had seen like the main cast of
Yeah,
characters, like the
yep.
characters that we've come to know and love, kind of square off against these like new beings that, you know, we were being introduced to. And I
People
love
who have
how.
access to vibranium, yeah.
Right. And I love how they were clearly outnumbered, because it was really just like Shuri and Okoye and then Riri, who was in her suit. But I think she kind of like by the time they kind of square off, she was down for the count.
Yeah.
And it really just ended up being Okoye, because Shuri was also kind of
Oh
out for a
my
bit, and she was clearly outnumbered, but she held her own and she did such a
God. Dude,
good job.
I
And
cannot.
like,
I mean, if I wasn't in the theater, I would have screamed. Like, dude, that was incredible. That was absolutely incredible. She held her own against them, and she literally. She, except for
I think too,
Atuma,
like,
she
yeah, but
got them
also
all.
maybe this is just me being biased, but I'm putting that down to she's never faced off against anybody like these guys before,
No,
so
that's
that's the
true.
only reason they had even like the tiniest bit of an upper hand on her. Because I feel like
Yeah.
Okoye is the type of person that's like, if she loses to you once, she's not making that mistake twice. And if
No,
you're
she's
like
not.
unlucky enough to
Yeah.
cross paths with her again, it's
You're
over for you.
gone. You're
It's
gone.
on site.
You're gone. Oh my
But
God.
yeah, I mean, not to say that like the other, warriors weren't skilled or whatever, but I think Okoye is just, she's just like on another level, and it
Dude,
was so cool to
seriously.
watch her fight. And again, I'm just, like I said, I'm probably biased, but I'm
I'm
just convinced
biased
that the only
too.
reason she like didn't win that fight is because this is the first time she had officially squared off against
Against
anybody from
these
Talokan.
people.
So
Yeah. Oh
yeah.
my God. But just, I was worried. Like, look at that. Like, again, she held her own, but Atuma really put some work in. Like, literally, I think she almost broke her arm and everything, but she still stood back up and fought. I'm like, that's
Yeah, it was
insane.
intense.
That was insane.
It was a lot.
Yeah. Also, I have to give credit to Winston Duke's M'Baku here because, like, I love how this guy is like comic. He's comedic relief as well. But he also makes some good points right in the beginning before they go on this mission. He's like, if you listen to this guy once, what's to stop him from coming back again and asking for more? He's not gonna, he's not, he's gonna keep making demands of you. And he's not wrong about that, but
No, but also I think I it's a very like they're in a very like difficult position, because I appreciate what he's saying, and I think what he's saying is also true, that once they do anything, then this guy could potentially just be like, oh, well, they complied this time, so clearly they fear us enough that we can keep kind of extorting whatever we want from them, whether it's resources, information, whatever. But
Whatever it is,
also, I
yeah,
think
exactly.
for Ramonda, it was trickier because only she and Shuri met him, and they have nothing to go off of but his word. And just, you like the way Shuri kind of pointed out, like, oh, look, mother, he's like dripping in vibranium. So clearly he's not lying when he says, like, they have access to it too. And also the way Namor described his army, he's like, I have more warriors than you have blades of grass. And
Oh
it's like,
God,
they don't want to risk, like, they shouldn't risk it if that's true. They have no, like, concrete way at this point of, like, confirming whether or not that's true or whether he's just bluffing to, like, get what he wants. But I think they kind of, at the beginning, err on the side of caution, because it's like, what if he is telling the truth? What if he really does outnumber us, like 10 to 1, whatever, 100 to 1, whatever the case is? Then, like, that's not a position that, like, they want to be in, where they're forced to, like.
Especially not to say this, not to make it sound like they the that not to mention, not to make it look like the Dora Milaje can't handle this, but like without the Black Panther, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, it's not so much about their skills at that point, but if what Namor says is true, and if they really are outnumbered that many to one, then it's a numbers thing. Like, it doesn't matter how skilled you are. Unfortunately, one warrior cannot be everywhere all at once. And if you have 100 warriors from one nation converging on, like, one poor soul from the other, it doesn't matter how skilled they are. They're probably going to go down at some point. It's just a question of how long does it take for them to go down. So I think, like, as much as what M'Baku says makes sense, what Ramonda is, like, I think trying to, like, work with is also, I think, like, a logical thing, because she doesn't want to, like, unnecessarily just, like, jump
Drag
into
her
this.
people into war. For
Yeah,
sure,
and
for
also
sure.
I think for her too, it was also like, I think she was just tired at the end of the day, because it's like she left the council with, like, these other nations who essentially demanded something of Wakanda and or her too, and then now here's another figure essentially doing the same thing. The only difference is they have a closer connection, like, literally speaking, because Helokan, I think, is they have more in common with Wakanda than they don't. So
No, I know
I
what you're
think that's,
saying.
like, the only real difference. But I think she's just, like, tired. She's like, why do people keep coming up and asking me of, like, why are they asking me to do things or, like, get them things? But at the same time, like you said, I don't think she can quite risk it with Wakanda and, like, putting them in a position of, like, or, like, starting a war if they go against it. So I think at first she's like, we're just gonna kind of see what we can do. But I think it becomes a lot harder once they realize that, like, I think it would have been one thing if they had gone to find the scientist and ended up being, like, an elderly person, but it's not. It's like a young woman who's just like them. She's very gifted, very talented, and she didn't even, like, purposely do anything to endanger either nation. She just made something for a class, and then presumably somebody else sold it to the CIA to make a quick buck, and now it's in the wrong hands. So yeah, it was really interesting to kind of see them figure out, like, what course of action they were going to take. And once they decided, it was really interesting to kind of see the turn, or, like, the way the story progressed.
Because of all of this, Okoye is down for the count, unfortunately, because they threw her into the water. Shuri actually sees this and she asks to be taken to Talokan so that she can talk to Namor about this whole thing. And that's what they end up doing. So I want to talk about that, but first I want to talk about Ramonda's reaction to this, and I feel terrible because I
I know.
understand where Ramonda's coming from, but this is Okoye, and I just, again, hats off to both these ladies because I keep saying this, they blew me away. They really
Oh my
just,
God,
I
yes.
cannot say it enough. Just like that scene where Okoye is like, I want to go back and make this right. We need to find Shuri again. And Ramonda's just like done. And it, damn
Yeah,
it.
I think for her, it's like, because she wasn't there, I think she just views it as, like, her only child now. Like, she's already lost her son. Her only remaining child has now been taken by the enemy, and there's no guarantee that the enemy is even going to spare her or,
Oh
like,
God. Yeah, dude.
do anything. And so for her, I think it's like she's after, losing T'Challa and like going through all this like hardship, I think she was just kind of like at her breaking point, and then Okoye coming in, like coming back to Wakanda without Riri, and especially without Shuri, is kind of like the final straw. She's just like, no, like that's it. Like, I and it was such a hard scene to watch, because you know that like
was.
Okoye is not a traitorous person, and she loves Wakanda as much as I'm sure Ramonda does. But it's just like it
You
she
know
was
what
also, I
breaks
think.
my heart? It breaks my heart that Okoye calls her mother, and
I know, I know.
I can't deal with that. And you can see it on Ramonda's face. She feels it, but she can't do anything. She can't. She's in a difficult position too. She's like, I'm what I'm
Again, I think
supposed.
like they're all like there's just they're all kind of spent at this point, because they've just gone through so much, and they don't
Spent
quite
is the
ever
right
really get
word.
like a chance to breathe and like just kind of process it and just like step back from it a bit. And I think for Ramonda especially, like it's just, I mean, Shuri was like the last person she had in her, family. Like, her husband is dead, her son is dead, and Shuri was all that she had left, and like was probably so important to her. Not to say that like Okoye was like, just not at all paying attention to Shuri's safety or anything, but it was just, like, again, it just
Breaking
came down to like
point
a
is right.
numbers thing. Yeah, so
Breaking
like,
point is right.
Okoye was unfortunately outnumbered in the fight, and she did the best she could,
Oh
and
my God.
she unfortunately was the one to get out, and she had to go home and break the news to her queen. But also just like watching Ramonda like just like say those things is really hard. It was so moving, and like, again, both Angela Bassett and Danai
Oh my
Gurira like
God.
absolutely killed it. Like, that
Queens,
scene is like,
queens. I
right, like
cannot
literal
stand
queens. It was just it was such a like moving scene, especially because like that one line that Angela Bassett delivers, where she's
Oh
like,
my
I'm
God.
queen of the most
I'm the queen
powerful
of.
nation in
Have
the.
I not given every. And my entire family is dead. Have I not given everything? Like,
It's, I mean, like they put that in the trailers, and it was
yes!
very emotional in the trailers, but when you see it in the context of the movie, it's just like it's
It's even
another
worse.
level. Yeah. And
Again, the she just delivered that line. Like, you feel that. Like, I cannot say this enough. Like, I okay, you know what? You are right. If I mean awards don't mean much these days, but if this cast does not get all the awards for their performances in this movie, then I really, what is the point?
Yeah.
What is the
I'm
point?
still like I know it's apples and oranges, but I'm still like kind of bitter that No Way Home didn't get it.
Oh,
And I feel
God.
like this is so much more emotional. Not that No Way Home wasn't emotional, but like this is just like another level
This
almost.
is
And I feel like
different.
this, like if this doesn't get it, then it's like just cancel all the awards for like the rest of eternity, because it just
Dude.
like everybody acted their butt off in this movie, and it really shows. And
I
it's just,
just, yeah, I can't even say that enough. Like, oh my God.
yeah.
Their performances, man. Like, and we haven't even gotten to the best parts yet. We really haven't. That's the
I know.
thing, right? Because this movie, I feel like it's a journey. Like, it literally just takes you on a ride with these characters, and you feel every moment of it. And not the least of it is how Riri, I love Riri, really. So you guys will stop having Black Panthers when I get kidnapped, really? And I'm like, I get it. I get that she's freaking out, and I understand that. But I also love how I love Shuri's meeting with Namor, because it signifies a lot of things here. Because Shuri, even though she's being very pragmatic here, I have to say, because Namor tells her his story. This is what you were talking about. He tells her his story that his mom was human, and the colonizers basically brought smallpox with them to the Yucatan Peninsula where these indigenous people lived. And to escape that, they found an underwater plant that was, covered in vibranium, and that basically made them unable to breathe on land. But his mother was pregnant with him at the time. So when she ingested that plant, he became a mutant, basically, because of that, which gave him the special ability to basically get powers when he's in the water, and also adapt to life on land, because he's both, basically. That's his story. And she asks to see Talokan, and she sees Talokan, she sees its people, she sees how they, just like Wakanda, have their own culture and their own way of life to protect, which I get. And I also love how Shuri's like, I can't let you kill the scientist. I'm as Princess of Wakanda, I cannot let you kill this scientist. She's innocent. She didn't mean to harm you or me or or any of our people. It just happened, and you can't just kill her. And again, she's being pragmatic about it, and Namor is not. He's just like very absolute about it, which is where things go
I
wrong.
think too, though, like for him again, it's not just, I think for him, it's like it's the life of one person for the safety of an entire nation. So, like, what difference does it make? Like, it's just one person. What's the big deal? But I think Shuri, kind of, I think maybe she sees a little bit of herself in Riri, and so it's like that much harder. But then also, like, Riri is like kind of an innocent in this, in the sense that like she
She
just made
is.
the machine. She didn't make it for like, her own personal gain or to like try
No.
and exploit, vibranium. Somebody else did that part for her and like gave it to the CIA and then kind of threw her in this mess. But I think for Namor and for, others, it's like, well, if she made this one thing, who's to say she can't come up with like a better design or like make more or like sell more designs to other people? And I think like their concern is that.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's really difficult to say. I mean, in the sense that we were talking about this in the beginning of this episode, where it's a nuanced situation, but Namor is really going about it in a really black and white way, whereas Shuri is trying to be pragmatic about this. And it is important to mention that Shuri has nothing to gain, like you said, from, letting Riri go. It's just that she really feel, but the thing is, you made a very good point about Shuri seeing a lot of herself in Riri and feeling responsible for her and feeling knowing what it's like to be that gifted and being able to do these amazing things and being faulted for, weird things that were out of your control as well. So there is all of that. But I would want to mention how she mentions that she hates having these gifts but not being able to save her brother. And it so and that tells that's a really interesting point, because until this moment, she wasn't thinking about that grief, but then it hits her full force now again. And this is a really good example of how you said that grief isn't linear in this movie. It's that it's like it hits at unexpected spots, and Shuri acts the way she does because it hits her in that moment more than anything else. And it's just one thing after the other, unfortunately. But I do want to talk about what Ramonda is doing in response to Shuri being taken, and how Ross is dealing with this whole situation where Okoye and Shuri were fending off the Talokan army, and Riri escaped, basically. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, it was really nice to see like more of Nikia and just to kind of see her like come back in any capacity. And it was also really cool to see that like she has been kind of, I guess like redirecting her effort different capacity. She's like a headmistress or leader, I guess, at a school in Haiti. And you don't get like a ton of information on specifically what she does there, but she seems to be like nurturing a lot of kids and like fostering learning and growth and all of that, which is really nice to see. But also, it's just like a very moving scene too, because when Ramonda goes to visit her, she's like, "We didn't see you at the funeral," and she's like, "Oh, I had to stay away. I couldn't come back." And you can tell that it's kind of painful for
He's
her too.
processing it too. Yeah.
But it was really bittersweet to kind of see her come all this way, because she only does it because Shuri's taken. But then it's also like the way she kind of talks, you kind of can hear that she's lost some confidence in Okoye, and she's not entirely willing to, I think, ask for her help, because she thinks like, this person unfortunately failed me once. What's to say that it'll be different this time? So, as nice as it is to see them kind of bonding, it's just like the only reason Ramonda is even here is because she doesn't trust Okoye to finish the job and get Shuri back. And Nikia also has like, not that Okoye doesn't have experience, but she's got like actual experience in like getting information and going undercover
She's
and
been a
like,
spy. Exactly. It's her skill set.
So it's
Absolutely.
like nice to see her involved for that, but then again, bittersweet, because like you
Again,
don't
Lupita
want,
Nyong'o is amazing, dude.
oh my God, phenomenal.
I
Like,
love her.
they've all were just so good.
Yeah, and I love how she puts her skills to the test by going around the area. And she asked the important question, who on earth is foolish enough to wage war in Wakanda? I mean, that is a good question, Nakia, I gotta say, dude. But it's really interesting to see how she applies herself and basically finds out information about Namor and how she can find this person, basically. And she does get to them. I love how I understand Ramonda's desperation. Ramonda's like, get Shuri back to me by any means necessary. That's all I want. And in the meantime, Namor is actually parlaying with Ramonda, and she asks him, what there must be something I can give you in exchange. And Namor is just like, nothing. No. It's just so, again, I love, again, everyone did such an amazing job.
Oh my
But
God, yeah.
you feel this, you feel the tension here. And then Nakia's infiltrated the sanctuary that they're in, and she manages to take both Riri and Shuri out, but this means war. At this point, because Nakia, to take these two out, has to kill some of the Talokans. I don't know how to say that. Some of their people, and it basically is an act of war now, unfortunately, because that's what Namor said. It's no longer about the scientists. I'm going to wage war in the surface world. If you don't join me, I will take it personally, and I will come for Wakanda first, and then the rest of the surface world. And now this makes it that much more complicated. And while Namor was being all conciliatory in the beginning and giving Shuri gifts, as you know, in terms of being able to partner with her in some way to it, like Talokan and Wakanda against the surface world kind of thing. It's not, it's really not. Again, he's dealing with this in a very black and white way. What did you think of that?
Yeah, it was very interesting because it's like, I don't think either group of people is at fault. And it's really hard to blame either of them for doing what they did. But yeah, it wasn't handled the best way. I just thought it was really funny how Shuri was like, I mean, she's a princess of Wakanda. She's not like, it's not like if they keep her. I mean, I know she offered to stay in Talokan while Riri went to Wakanda, but I think part of that was less her being serious and more just her not wanting to like wallow in her grief and just being like, this is something else to focus on. I'm not going to worry about my grief and all of that. Just focus on this for now. But also, like I said, she's the crown princess. There's no way that, like, even if she wanted to stay, like, she would be given that option. And so I'm not really sure what Namor expected when he took the princess, but like it seems only logical that somebody's gonna come for her. And like, the Wakandans aren't
He
stupid.
tells
They're
him
not gonna
that
like,
too. He does tell him, yeah.
But the thing that I found really interesting, which, I wish, like, I mean, I know why it happened, but I wish, like, it had played out differently. The scene where Nakia shoots one of the Talokan warriors, and then Shuri's like so insistent. She's like, "I can save her, I can save her, I can save her," but like they don't have time.
Oh,
So Nakia's
I
just like,
know
no, we gotta
exactly
go.
what you mean.
We don't have time for this." But Shuri's like, I think it, like, for her, it's just like going back to when T'Challa was like dying and she was trying so hard
Yeah,
to save
man.
him. And I think she feels like the responsibility. And I feel like if things played out differently, if she had proven that, like, hey, we might have our differences, but like we're on the same side, and if she had been able to save that lady, I feel like maybe then Namor would be like, okay, maybe I don't need to go this hard this quickly. But I think because they were kind of just like whisked away, he was like, all right, well, they're the aggressors now. They came in here after everything, and like I show them hospitality and this and that, and it's like, yeah, but you also did kind of kidnap them against their will.
And you
And
threatened an act of war in retaliation. So, like, I don't know.
yeah, I don't know, it's just very interesting. Like, to me, it was just like, why would you? It's not so much like I can understand why he wanted to do what he wanted to do and why he did things the way he did, but it's also like, again, you've kidnapped a very high-ranking Wakandan official. It's kind of crazy that you don't expect any retaliation, and that, like, when it happens, it's kind of like, not to be glib about it, but it's like that surprise Pikachu face meme. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe they did something. And
And that
it's
musical
like,
effect of, that musical effect that you get when you see a surprise face. I don't know how to
yeah,
say it,
it's
but
just
I
like,
know what you
wait,
mean.
like, and again, like, he is a compelling, like, antagonist in that I feel
He
like
is, I'm not saying no.
his argument makes sense right up until he takes it to the extreme of like, let's burn the entire world. And it's like, okay, you had me, and then you lost me. But
Exactly.
yeah,
Again,
I mean,
I get
it's.
his reasons why. His people have had to deal with colonialism and all those things. I will completely understand that, but burning the world for that, yeah, you lost me there, really. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
So what follows now is some of the best scenes in this movie, I gotta say. Because, like, Riri's in Wakanda. Riri's back in. Riri and Shuri are back in Wakanda. I love the scene that plays out between Nakia and Okoye. They talk about what they felt when T'Challa died and why Nakia had to step away and why she felt like she couldn't deal with all of this. But this is when the attack begins. And it is just, it leaves you at the edge of your seat. Like, it really does. There's no other way to put it. Because you see the water flooding in, you know it's coming. But again, Queen Angela Bassett. I cannot say this enough. I love this. It hurts, but I love
There,
this.
there's this one moment in that fight scene, which is like towards the end, where spoilers, but it, like, it's, like they've Namor has kind of blasted his way through like all the Wakandan fighter jets or whatever they're called, and it's just Ramonda and Riri in like the throne room, and he's just like
And
hovering
Namor
before them.
basically just like he does hit the glass that they're standing in front of, and she does not flinch. She
I
doesn't.
know.
She's just standing there. I'm
There
like,
is something so powerful about that, just
oh my
like
God.
as the queen, just her just standing there, just like resolute, like I'm not moving.
She's
And
like, I'm not moving. Yeah.
and I think I mentioned this before, but when I
You
saw that
did.
scene, the
You
first thing I
did.
thought of was the quote from Mulan where the
Yeah.
emperor is like, no matter how the wind howls, the
The
mountain cannot
mountain
bow
cannot
to
bow
it.
to it. Like,
And I was
yes.
like, that's her, that's her. But
We have
no,
the
that scene
definition
was,
of that now.
yeah, that scene was so cool right up until the end, because like there's that moment where Ramonda tells Rhea, she's like, just get out of here, just go. And Rhea's like, no, I can't leave
I
you. And
can't
then
leave
like
you
right
here.
after that,
And
all
then
hell breaks
I
loose.
love how M'Baku is trying to fight this guy but can't. It shows how powerful Namor is actually. They're like, it's really cool. But then this scene, oh my God,
Oh my God.
he's just so mad that he can't get to Ramonda that he basically gets a ton of water bombs and like floods the place. He floods it. And
Well, I don't know if it's so much that he couldn't get to her. I think he probably could, and he knew he could. And I think he went for her because it was like, all right, well, you guys came for my people, so like now I'm gonna hit you where it hurts too, because I've already been hit where it hurts. And it's just like,
Has he
no, like
though?
there's just,
Has
well, it seems like he has, because I think he has like a very unique connection to his people, in the sense it's like they're not his people, like they're all just like, I mean, he's leader, yes, but
though?
like he seems to like know all these people. And like it could just be because he's also just like much older, that like for him it's like, you know, it's like a different relationship where it's like he takes the time to learn all these people's names and all of that, because like he's lived for hundreds of years and they don't, presumably. I don't know. But also, part of me wonders whether he went after Ramonda willingly, because also I think he recognized that of the two, Shuri was more volatile, and if he could exploit anybody, like Ramonda wouldn't budge if
It
she
would
made
have
up her
been
mind.
Shuri. Yeah.
But Shuri, he could manipulate if it really came down to it. And I don't think he wanted to, but I feel like if maybe, I think maybe he was like playing the long game and calculating and like deciding, like if it came down to it, if he was in a position where he had to manipulate somebody of the two, she was probably like harder. It was harder for her to let go of her grief, and I think because of that, she was more volatile and like more reactive, and he
But
could
oh
probably
my God.
manipulate that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the scene that follows, where it's just like the throne room just flooded, and then like Ramonda goes out of her way to save Riri, and then like when it cuts to like Okoye and Eki and Shuri coming in, and then just like both of them just
You
face down
should,
in the water.
again, Letitia Wright's acting in this scene,
Oh
every
my
single
God,
one
it's
of them.
just.
Oh my God, because someone mentioned this, and when I watched this movie the second time, it hurt me even more because at first she's just like, Mother, is it wake up kind of thing. But then she starts screaming,
And she, yeah,
Mama,
I
and
know,
I'm
that
like,
killed
Whoa.
me,
Yeah.
because it's just like,
That's
it's,
a
I
baby
mean,
calling out to her mother. That's just it right now,
you
you
know what
know?
it reminded me of, though? It reminded me of like earlier in the movie, like when Riri, like I forget exactly what she says, she's like, you just like disobeyed the queen or whatever, like hung up on the queen, and then
I just
Shuri's
hung up
like,
on
no, I
my
hung up on
mom.
my mother. Yeah.
I just hung up on my mom. There's a difference.
Yeah. And so like that, like
God.
when she started screaming mama, I was like, that's what it reminded me of. And I was like,
Oh.
thank you, Ryan Coogler. I did not need my heart, but like
I did not need my heart, and I hate it, and it's dumb, okay? Holy shit.
no,
Like.
that was so moving. And I think the thing too is like, I don't think anybody expected Ramonda to
Right?
die. And I think like you
Exactly.
thought like, okay,
Oh.
T'Challa's gone, like this whole movie is all about them processing their grief, it can't get
Yeah.
any worse than this. And then you see the scene of like Riri being resurrected, like revived, not resurrected, and then like
You're
Ramonda
waiting
isn't it, and
for,
like
but
that
this is
like
the thing.
Okoye
Okoye is the
too,
one. She's the
also.
one trying to revive her.
But
It's
also,
just,
not only that, she still keeps calling her mother, and I'm like,
I
my heart, like,
know.
what's
Oh
left of
my
it is a
God.
shred. Thank you,
Yes.
Ryan Coogler. No,
Listen,
it's a very
it's
moving scene.
shattered. Shattered. My heart is on the floor in pieces.
Oh my God, literally, right? Like, it's just, it's again, because I don't think anybody expects it, and it's so like watching, like, I know it's like, It's always really hard to lose a parent, but to lose one so close after losing, your brother, and then to see Shuri's like reaction, like that was a visceral reaction, man.
was
Like she was
very,
just
he was
like it was just raw
distraught.
and
He
like,
was just like,
yeah.
oh my God.
And
That,
then
that's the
like
thing. First, she's just like mother, and then when she starts screaming mama, that's when it gets to you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, no.
Yeah,
Just
and
no.
I love and I hate this that like right after when it's like confirmed that Ramonda's dead and like they have to bury her, there's this really like bittersweet moment between Baku and Shuri, and he's talking about
Right?
how like he promised T'Challa he'd look out for her, and I'm like, hey, that's so sweet. But then he also says this really like moving quote where like Shuri's commenting on how it must be so annoying for him to have to like defer to her, and she calls herself a child, and he's like, the world is taking too
No.
much from you for you to be considered a child.
There's
And
a
it's just
reason
like,
for this. Because in the first movie, he mocked her, saying that their scientific advances had been looked at or taken care of by a child who scoffs at tradition. And she puts that back at him in this movie. And he's just
Yeah,
like,
I'm paraphrasing, but yeah, she like
I know,
we
sorry.
just
I'm sorry.
no, it,
But
I didn't remember like the specific quote that she said, because she it's from the first movie, but I think it's
yeah.
phrased slightly differently in this movie, and I didn't remember the specific quote, but I love that he was just like,
But he can't even laugh at it because he's just like,
yeah,
the world
the
has
world is
taken too much
taking
from
too much
you
from you.
for you to be called a child or considered a child. And
Yeah.
my already shattered heart, which is on the
I know.
floor, broke even
It's like in
more.
shreds. Yeah.
That's what it is.
But also like
And
going
even
from that
worse,
to like,
it gets worse. Don't give it gets worse. He asks her for advice and she tells him they will be indebted to you if you help them, which is fine. But then he's like, now where is your heart? What of your heart? You know what breaks my heart in this situation is when Shuri says, I just buried the last person who truly knew me and my heart was buried with her. And I'm like, dead,
I
dead.
know, it's like if your heart is still functioning like an hour into this movie, by
Oh
like
God.
the 1 hour and like 2 minute mark, it'll be gone.
You're dead. I was
Yeah.
like, why? Ryan Coogler, the entire cast, why? I am suffering. I mean, I love this movie. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing, but I am suffering.
I
Like,
know. I think though, like, that's the thing that, like, watching this movie, I was just like, one, it is so traumatic, I'm sure, for Shuri to, like, lose the people closest to her. Like, she has nobody in her immediate family left. Like,
like
it's
her
just her
dad is
now.
gone, her brother is gone now, her mom.
But
Oh my
also,
God,
like,
yeah.
this isn't new to Phase 4 in the sense, like,
Yeah.
Marvel did it with Wanda. They did it with
Oh
Yelena.
God.
They did it with Thor. They did it with Peter.
Peter.
And now they're doing it with Shuri. It's just like, how many like people are you
They
guys gonna
did
just
it
like
with
tear apart?
Mark too. Like Mark Spector, they did it with him too. Like what the hell, guys?
Although like, I mean, yeah, I guess you could say that because Stephen Grant and Jake Lockley are just like alters for him,
No,
and
but
it's still to him.
he
But
and okay, to make it worse, Mark was suicidal, to be honest.
yeah.
So that's like another level, but okay.
Yeah, but it's just like, how much like pain can you guys inflict on these
I
kid like
think
poor
they're
characters?
betting against us. They're like, you know
Yeah.
what? I'm gonna one up you on the pain. I'm gonna do this, and that's it.
But
Thank you.
like that's the thing, right? Like watching Ramonda get buried and just
Oh
like
God.
watching Shuri's reaction, it's just
You
like,
can
yes, it's
feel
the
her
people's
just.
queen, but like that's her mom. And
You can
like you can
feel her just shut
understand.
down. She's literally shut down by this point.
Which
Any.
is why, like, when
Yeah.
she goes back to her lab and starts like working on recreating the heart-shaped herb, it's just like you know probably what's gonna follow, but like it's so hard to like be mad about it or like be upset at her for like kind of
Amen.
going full into like rage mode for it, because like she's lost everything. And like I think too, what makes it like really frustrating is I think probably the way Namor just like he's like there when like they all come into the throne room and they discover the bodies, and
Yeah.
like again Riri gets revived, but the queen does it, and then Namor
Oh,
talks directly to
that's
Shuri. He's like, "You're the
heartbreaking.
queen now." He's like, "Yeah, bury your dead and like mourn your losses or whatever." But then, at such and such time,
He
he's
said
basically like, "We
he says he'll
ride."
be back by 1 week. Bye. Like,
And it's like, I don't think you just not that I'm, not rooting for Wakanda, but it's like you just gave them a week. Like, that's probably not
more,
what
no,
you should have done.
you shouldn't have done
But
it because you, first of all, right now, Shuri is so volatile that she would do anything to avenge her
but like
mother.
that's the thing, I think that's why I kind of wonder, like, did he do that on purpose because he knew that he could get a reaction out of her and that
Interesting.
he could manipulate her? But it's also like he did that, horrible thing in her eyes, and now it's like, okay, you wanted a reaction, now you're gonna get it. And like, I'm not coming for like the surface dwellers or whatever you want to call them. I'm coming for you first because you killed my mom. So it's like, I don't know. It's like, this is probably like a dumb analogy, but it's like if you poke a snake in the hope that it'll like go do something, but then it just turns on you and starts like hissing at you. That's kind of
That's
like, I feel like
an
what you kind of did.
interesting
It's a stupid
analogy,
analogy, but
actually, but
or like backing an animal into a corner. It's like they're not defenseless even then. I wonder if he was like thinking like, okay,
actually,
maybe I
a
can like,
cornered animal is the most dangerous one because then
yeah.
they'll do anything to get out of that situation and you don't know what that will be. And oh my
Exactly. So
God,
it's like, did he do that
again,
on purpose or like?
props to Letitia Wright, man. I just no, I no. I cannot
Yeah,
say
I.
this enough. Like, it's just, it's visceral. You know, that reaction. You can see this girl shut down. She's like, I'm done now. That's it. Everything I love has been taken from me. Now I'm going to deal with this the way I should have. And I'm not going to think about it. It's just, I mean, props to
Yeah,
all
no,
of them. All of them, just all of them.
it was
And
crazy in like a
yeah.
good way, in the sense it's just like when she goes full rage mode, you're like, again, it's just hard to be mad at her because it's like that makes perfect sense. Like, what, like, you would do the same thing too if you lost your
Yeah.
parents, like,
Yeah,
and
oh
your
God.
brother, and like somebody was like
Basically
kind of taunting
everything.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like,
Holy shit.
I don't really think she was given space to like
No.
process her grief either. So
No.
just a lot of like just people are telling her what to do, and then she's trying to mourn literally her whole family. And then people are just like, do this, do that, and like, oh my God, these threats are looming. And it's like, yeah, but she's also just like, I mean, she's not a kid, but
She's
like
not,
she's
but she's
literally
still
just lost everybody.
grieving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Again, and here's the thing. I love Shuri and Riri's collaborative process here to find out what they can do about Namor, right? I really love that. It's amazing how they figure that out together, right? It's really cool. But then what I love is how Shuri thinks of using something from Talokan, which is infused with vibranium to recreate the heart-shaped herb. And she is actually successful in doing it. And what keeps going through my mind at that time is how she would have felt it being successful now after she lost her brother. And she wasn't successful then when it counted for her, at
Yeah,
least.
I'm sure it's bittersweet, but
Right?
also like I don't know enough about it to know like would having that herb, would it have done anything for T'Challa?
That's the thing, though. They
Or
don't
like,
know. That's always going to be a
yeah.
what if. And again, I in the beginning, when she's talking to Ramonda, Shuri was like, I wasn't trying to save the mantle. I was trying to save my brother. That's all I was trying to do. And it's just, you feel that, you know? Even now, when you see that she's successful, and again, her reaction to being successful is visceral. She's like, she can't believe it. And she probably thinks, why didn't this happen then when it probably could have helped him? Why it's a lot of what ifs at this point,
Yeah, I
you
think also
know?
like there was that bit when she was in Talokan where she was like, she and Namor were talking, and then she
Yeah.
was like asking, how is it fair that like I've been given these gifts or I'm so smart or whatever, but when it counted, I couldn't save my brother, or like what's the purpose in that? And I think now that she's like at this point that she's been able to recreate it, she's like kind of questioning that again. It's like, what's the point now? Like, and I think the only reason it's even like a thing is because she's still just so like hyped up after her mom died, that she's
Oh,
just like so
God.
filled with like anger and like resentment and all that, that she's just like channeling it into this like, okay, he wants like a reaction out of me, or he wants a fight with Wakanda, he's getting one now. And
He's
it's just
getting
like,
one. Yeah, dude.
oh, it's really hard to watch, but then
It
also at
is,
the same
but
time, like, you
it's
know where she's
also
coming from. Yeah,
this.
it's but no, again, like Letitia Wright just did such an amazing job,
I
and like
mean,
it's also just like really like interesting when you consider what Shuri's role was in the first movie, which is not
that's
really
the
like
thing.
people like she it was definitely like I don't want to say comic relief, but when you watch her scenes, there's definitely like more of an innocence to Shuri then compared to
In the
now.
first movie.
And
Oh
like,
my God.
yeah,
It
in the
breaks
second
your
movie,
heart.
by the
It
time,
breaks your heart.
yeah, by the second half, she's just like, you know what, screw it all, I don't care, like if he wants me to burn the world, I'm gonna burn the world with him in it. And it's just like, I don't know, but no, her acting in this entire movie is just phenomenal. Like,
I can't, yeah. Every
again,
single
give her
one of
all
them.
the awards.
Yeah, like, dude, seriously. And let's talk about how she isn't, angry at Riri and how they're collaborating. I love that. You mentioned this when we were talking about this off recording, that even after everything that's happened, she doesn't blame Riri. She knows that this is Namor's doing and not, and Riri was just an unwilling participant in all of this. Like, not even a participant. She was just dragged into this. And that's like, again, I love how collaborative they are with each other, and and it's beautiful. And that's the thing, when she succeeds, Nakia is there to help her with the whole ritual. But what shocked me the most is who Shuri saw in the ancestral plane, because Ryan Coogler, God damn it, man, you did it again. I did not think that you would shock me more, but you did. So let's talk about this.
It was like, I remember being in the theater and like
I
the way it, like,
was
yeah, because like when you see it, you initially you're in the throne room, and
like,
it's kind of similar to T'Challa's
kind
experience,
of,
but it's like she's in the throne room, and then like the camera kind of revolves around the throne, and then you see who's sitting on it. So at first you just see like glimpse of the white, and I remember people in my like showing being like, oh my God, it's Ramonda, like she's gonna see her mom again. And then the camera turns completely around the throne, and then it's just like everybody just gasped, because I don't think anybody was expecting Killmonger to be there.
Right?
But it was also
Holy
like,
shit.
it was very fitting, because like I as much as it's
Because,
like, it's
yes.
painful to like hear it, I love how he was just like so blunt. He's like, no, I'm here because
You
like
called
you and I
me.
are more similar.
You
And
called me for this. And I love how Shuri's like, I would never call you, but she knows it's true. She knows that she did it. She knows in her anger and in her grief, she's turned to this one person who is the who represents the worst of them, the worst of their instincts, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Not that he was the worst. I mean, he did stupid things, but he resorted to to the worst of his instincts to do what he had to do. And I think that is what is so important to show here, that in your grief, you can turn to your lowest instincts and do something horrifying. It's just, I
I
love
mean,
that portrayal, to be honest with you. Like you said, this movie is raw as hell, and I loved it. It's like just, incredible.
yeah, I as much as it was hard to hear, I kind of love how he was like, you know, your dad wouldn't have
Was a
solved this
hypocrite.
problem. Yeah, and like T'Challa was too noble, and he would let like the people who like hurt you just, you know, exist and keep existing and all of that. And he's like, he was basically just like calling her out and just being like, but you're different, like you can do something about it. And as dark as it was, I kind of loved when she's like, when I'm done with Namor, he's gonna be begging for mercy. Like, I just
Yep.
loved that vibe. I don't know. It's definitely like a dark thing for her to do, but I just
It
thought it was really
was,
cool. But
but it
like
was fitting. Like you said, grief does a number on you. It's just like I can't even imagine
it not to
resorting
like
to
be that
your
person
worst
and
instincts.
like yeah, not to keep comparing things, but it kind of in a way reminded me of in No Way Home when
Yes,
the Green
I just
Goblin was
wanted to
taunting
kill you
Peter.
myself.
And yeah, he's
Yeah,
like, I just want to
dude.
kill you myself. And then the Green Goblin's like, attaboy. And it's like, this is not something you should be wishing for, FYI, but like,
Yeah,
okay.
I know. But the
But
parallels, though, like, holy shit. But
I've
again,
been saying this and
I
I'm
love
just,
how
when
they.
those chipsets drop,
I'm gonna die. We're both gonna
I
die,
know.
I swear to God. But here's the thing, though. She doesn't tell anybody who she saw because she's afraid of it herself. I don't think she expected that. And I don't think she likes the fact that that is who she saw, right? But then she
I saw
doesn't.
somebody make a point too about how for her she wasn't entirely sure that the ancestral plane was even like a
No,
thing, because
that's
she's so
true.
like, you know, like science and you know there's a rational
Logic
explanation for
and
everything,
yeah,
yeah, and to like see
exactly.
this place like and not really have like a concrete scientific explanation for it, it's like, you know, like how do you rationalize that or like how do you
No, you
explain it?
can. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, watching like, especially watching like Nakia try and like get that information from her, it's like, oh my God, please, like just tell her, sure. Just like,
Let it
it,
out.
like,
Let it
she's not gonna
out.
judge you for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if it's because she was scared of the judgment or what, but it's just like, she's not gonna judge you for it. Just please tell somebody.
You
Because
need to
keeping it
let
bottled
this
up
out.
inside is like, it's not healthy. I mean, I know it's so much easier said than done, but it's also just like when you look at like where she was in like the first movie and then where she ends up like in parts of this movie, it's like it's almost like the
Night
character's
and day.
unrecognizable.
Night
Yeah,
and day.
because she's just going through so much and it's like it's completely understandable why she's reacting the way she's reacting. But also at the same time, it's just like you just want to give her a hug and just be like, it's
Dude,
okay.
you want to give her a hug and say, hey, it's gonna be okay. It's really gonna be okay. But oh God, this movie is so good. I cannot say that enough, right? Because first of all, the score when she
Oh
comes
my
in her
God.
new Black Panther suit while the council is convening, incredible, absolutely incredible. And everyone's just like so excited that the Panther is back that they fail to notice how much it's troubling her, what state of mind she's in. But M'Baku sees it. He sees it. And he's like, and when she asks to have a word with him alone, he tells her, hey, I'm not going to go to war. But I love her question for him, was my mother's life not worth eternal war? And his answer is even more fitting. He's like, of course she was, of course, but that is
But
not
also, I
what she
think
would want for you.
yeah, I think there's a bit where he also phrased like, of course she was, of course she is,
Yeah,
and like that just like got me.
that hurts. And then I love that she's like, you talk about her as if she's still here. But she's not. Her hopes and her dreams for me died with her. That breaks your heart. I
I
can't.
know.
I'm like,
But like again, like it
no.
makes so much sense
It
when like you
does.
see her like doing these things and then she goes from
I'm not
like
saying it doesn't make sense. It's just so
no, I know,
heartbreaking
I'm
to
just saying
see.
like it
Yeah,
is very heartbreaking and it's
I know.
sometimes a little bit hard to watch her go down these dark paths, but like it makes perfect sense when you see
Yeah,
like
oh my God.
I mean, for her it's like she's avenging her mother and like yeah, it's just
It's crazy,
yeah,
really.
not enough words to describe it.
Yeah, and the worst part is, she's like, when she says that, she's like, she's gone now. Well, her hopes and dreams for me died with her. What matters now is what I want, and what I want is Namor dead. And I'm like, girl, I
I
love
know
you,
it's
I get it, but oh my God, you need help. Just like,
More than that, I mean, maybe to a certain degree she does, but it's also just like she just needs time to like
yeah, that too.
grieve and then like just like let
Just
go of
sit
it.
with
Because,
it. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
because like she's just been, I feel like she's been just going at like 100 since T'Challa died. And the first time she does, like, it's with her mom. And then Ramonda's like, okay, just let it go. And it's like, she's not like she wasn't ready at that point. But
No.
like at this point, I don't know that she's ready now either. But it's like she needs
No.
time to process her mom's death, her
No.
brother's death, to just kind of,
Everything. Yeah. Just, just let it out for a
yeah. But
second.
also, I just find it really interesting because one of the things in Love and Thunder that like they kept bringing up was like, or Thor kept bringing up, was like, I want to feel shitty about Jane. And like in this movie, it's just like literally the entire like host of characters feeling like shit and like the ways it's affecting them. So I don't know, I
I
just
mean,
thought that that was
Thor
interesting.
has a point. Like, I want to be, he's saying that it's rather, I'd rather feel something for you than close myself off, which I get. Don't get me wrong. That's very true. But this is like the other extreme where you are so vulnerable that it literally destroys you. Like, she's not saying I don't feel anything. She's like, I am so full of
If
rage right
anything, it's,
now.
yeah,
I
it's the other
can't.
end of the
Yeah,
spectrum. Like you said, where it's like she
exactly.
feels too much
Yeah,
and she's just like
exactly.
letting it consume her. And she's like, you know
Yeah.
what? I don't care anymore. Like, any chance of peace we could have had, like
Yeah.
you threw that out the window the minute you murdered my mother, and now I'm coming for
Exactly.
you. And
Exactly.
it's
Oh
hard
my
to watch, but
God.
also at the same time, it's kind of cool because I
Again,
don't know, there's
Letitia
something.
Wright just chef's kiss, man. I cannot.
Oh my God, yeah.
Every single one of them. I cannot say this enough. Every single one. And okay, I did not expect to have feels from stuff that M'Baku said, but holy shit,
Right?
man. Winston
That was
Duke,
not on my
thank you.
Marvel bingo card.
Like, dude, no. Like, you broke my heart by being such a good.
Like voice of reason almost.
Yes. Yes.
Because he, like, the stuff he was saying wasn't untrue, but
No.
also like Shuri has just lost so much and she's been through so much in such a short period of time that it's like it's really hard to get through to her right now. And you
Yeah.
can't fault her for doing the things that she's doing either,
No.
again, because like,
Because
I mean,
he understands
she
that too. That's why he doesn't argue with her. When he's when she says, "You're going to help me do this," that's it. He doesn't argue, but he
I mean,
knows
technically,
it's.
she's higher than him in the sense, like
No,
she's still a
well, yes,
princess. And,
but
but no, yeah, he doesn't argue with her, and he's like, "I'll whatever you want, like I'll do it." But just know that, like, this is not what your
exactly.
mom wanted for you. And like,
Yeah.
I'm not super thrilled at the prospect of doing this, but like, I
If this is
promised your
what you
brother,
need,
and like,
yeah,
yeah,
okay,
I'll
kind
do
of
it.
thing. Yeah, oh my God. That was, like you said, that wasn't on my Marvel bingo card, y'all. M'Baku giving me feels was not on my Marvel bingo card,
I think
but
it just
damn
it
it,
hurts so much more
it
because like
does.
it's a mirror of like real life, because like nobody knew that Chadwick Boseman was going through, you know,
Yeah.
this illness, and then it seemed that he had just kind of, you know, prepared for it quietly in the sense like
Yeah.
it wasn't a publicized thing, and anything that was done, it seemed to have just been like contained within his family and like
Yeah, his inner
very close
circle kind
friends.
of thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
And so like T'Challa doing the same thing just hits that much harder, where it's like he doesn't mention it as a character, and like he just makes preparations,
Yep.
and then, you know, it just, I don't know, I think that just makes it so much more like it just makes it harder, like when
It
it hits harder,
does.
when it just mirrors real life. So and then yeah, the way you know, he was like, you know, telling this kind of like semi-rival to like look after his sister, and he's like, yeah, you know, we may have had our differences in the past, but like
But
when I'm
I'll
gone,
do
I
it.
need you to be
Yeah.
there for her. And
Yeah.
then M'Baku's like, yeah, whatever you need, like I'm here for you, I promised your brother, and like I'm gonna keep my word.
Make me cry, man.
And
Stop it.
I
But I
know
know it
it's
hurts.
not something I expected, but it was very moving. And like,
Yeah. Oh my
I think too,
God.
like that was a really nice thing that like he could have questioned her. He could have been like, what the hell are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? I'm not gonna help you. Like, I don't owe you that much or whatever. But he doesn't. And like, kind of like we talked about before, again, like
Yeah.
the characters, like nobody really blames anybody for certain
No.
things. Like Shuri never blames Riri for anything. I'm like, I think at first where he's kind of like taken aback by everything that's going on, but she's not like, oh my God, it's your fault that like I'm stuck in Wakanda and I can never go back home or whatever. And so like kind of seeing like those things get like, or those things like play out differently and end up the way they were in the movie was very refreshing.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. Now let's talk about the final fight because holy shit, it's like out of this world, really. Because they have this plan to get Namor out of the water so that he's away from, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of what they did with Gaia in the Blood of
The Heroes of
Olympus.
Olympus, yeah.
This is like, holy shit, I love it. It's amazing. It's great. Okay. Like, they get him away from his source of power so that he can't be that superhuman anymore. And really, Shuri gives him the fight of his life. She's so
Also,
visceral
I just
here.
love that there's a bit where like Riri's in her new upgraded suit, and
Yep.
I think she was the one who's meant to like get Namor on the ship,
Yep.
and then she's like, "Oh, he's fast, but I'm faster." And I'm like,
I
"Yeah,
love
who's bad?
it. I love it.
More of that, please."
More of that. Ironheart win, guys. Come on, Marvel. Give
I
me more
know, I
Riri
know.
content. But anyway, yeah, it's all really, she's really cool. Like the way she immediately calculates the height or distance she requires to get off an airborne satellite. Like again, super cool. She's amazing. I love her. But and I love that Okoye is like as critical as she is of Shuri's designs when it comes down to it. She's just like, basically, she's just like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to do, I'm just going to do what I have to do here. So it's again, I. As critical as she is of Shuri in that aspect, when it comes right down to it, she's down for it. As long as it's for Wakanda, for her, she's there. And I love it. Again, she puts up the fight of her life against Atuma and Namora, which is great. And now if Shuri has her own battle to fight, basically. Again, and this battle is so visceral. Like, I cannot. I can't, words fail me when I talk about this, but we have to talk about it, so let's go for it.
It's an intense one, like
Yeah.
for sure. One, just like getting Namor away from his power, like the source of his power, like that was cool
Yeah.
to kind of level the playing field, because
Yes.
I think he had some advantages in the sense he was more like almost like a demigod, kind of like he just,
Yes.
and being close to the water, he had like an endless source of like energy to like replenish himself and stuff. But also, you know, Shuri having taken the heart-shaped herb and then, you know,
Yep.
becoming the Black Panther,
Yep.
she's also like different now too. But no, their
Yeah.
fight scene was so cool, because I think she is very different from T'Challa when, you know, he was the Black Panther. And I think especially when they finally crash land in the desert and like they're fighting it, I think it starts as a fight to the death, because she's just like,
Yeah.
screw it, like you took everything from me
Yeah,
and
I'm not
I'm
gonna
gonna kill you, or
leave you anything. Yeah, exactly.
It's like she was out for blood and she was gonna get it or die trying. And it was really cool to watch, but also the whole time you're just like, oh no, Shuri, please, no, don't do
Don't
that,
do
don't do
it. Yeah, don't do
that.
that to
Not so much because,
yourself.
like, yeah,
Yeah.
I think like that's the bigger thing. It's like, I think from like a story point of view, would it have made sense for her to kill somebody? Probably, because
Maybe.
she was just so like, you know,
She was in a
consumed by
bad place.
everything.
Yeah,
Like, yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
that I don't think there's an easy way to like look at somebody who took someone from you and be like, you know what, I'm gonna walk away, I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like you don't want to do this now and then like years down the line, when you're like nations are still like locked in the bloody costly war, like regret it, you know? So it was like, as a audience member, just like watching that play out, but then also knowing that like this is not going to bode well for the future, and
Yeah.
if they survive, they're probably going to regret it, type thing. It's just like, on the one hand,
Exactly.
you're like, yay, go Shuri, and on the other hand, you're like, no, please stop, don't do it.
Exactly. Oh my God. Totally, dude.
But
But let's
Yeah, I
also
mean, he
talk
was.
about who she actually wanted to see in the ancestral plane and how this played out in this moment. Because she's also pretty wounded, because as powerful as she is, Namor is also still powerful. And he does pack a punch, let's not
He
forget.
does.
So let's talk about that too.
Yeah, there's that bit where it looks like he's down and out for the count, kind of. But he like impales her with a spear, and it's just like there was a moment where I was like, oh my God, she's gonna die. Because it's like, yeah, she's taking that heart-shaped herb, but it's like, that's not like that doesn't make her immortal. And like,
Exactly. Oh my
he like
God.
stuck his spear fully in her. Like, that's gotta
In her
rearrange
abdomen,
something in
like
there.
literally in her
Yeah.
gut, like, oh my God, holy shit.
And like the fact that she's still alive after, but not only that, she like just moves through the entire sphere. I mean, she breaks off
Yeah,
part of it
she
and then she
does.
moves through the sphere and to
Yeah,
like
oh my God.
get it out of her. It's like that gave me Tomb Raider vibes. I'm like, that's Lara
Right?
level
That's
nonsense. Like,
Lara, that is Lara level nonsense, y'all.
like the amount of infections you could probably get from, I don't even want to know.
I don't
But
want
at
to
the same
know.
time, it's like you
I don't
can't
wanna know.
not root for her because it's
Yeah.
like,
But then that moment, that's when you hear Amanda. She calls out to her child and she's like, show them who you are. Who
I
you
know.
really are. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah, there's like that bit where like everything just like rewinds, like it goes
Yeah.
backwards, and it's
Yep.
all the moments of like her with her mom, and it's just
Yep.
like, look, Marvel, you've extracted so many tears at this point.
Oh
Like,
God.
I have nothing left to give you.
Whatever my shattered heart, which has been like hammered to like tiny pieces, is being hammered again. That's what this is, pretty
I
much.
know.
And they're not done yet. We're gonna talk about
I
that
know.
too. They're not even done. Please continue, because I love how in the end she chooses to be, she's firm about this. I'm going to help you protect your waters, but we're not going to keep doing this. That's it. This is it. I'm going to help you protect your waters. They're not going to come after you or your people, but this, whatever this is, you're not going to come after us again. And I love that. I love that. I love that
It
she
was very
finally chose
powerful
that.
too, like,
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
yeah, because I think also like beyond it just being like the right thing to do, and it was nice to see her be the bigger
Yeah.
person. It's just like, again, anything they do now is just gonna have like cascading consequences for the
Oh
future.
God,
And I don't
for
think,
real.
you know, for all of Talo Khan's talk about like, you know, we have enough warrior, like we have more
Yeah.
warriors than blades of grass and all that. It's like, yeah, but also Wakanda's not gonna go down without a fight. And
No.
like, even if they were to lose, I feel like they would make enough of a dent in
They
Talo Khan's army that
inflict
like,
damage. Yeah, oh my God,
yeah,
for
like
real.
they're not gonna go down quietly or easily. And like by the end of this, if there is an end, like both sides will have sustained, I'm assuming, heavy losses and all of that, because like
Oh
they're
my
pretty
God,
evenly
yes.
matched on an even playing field.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it was just like, I don't know how to describe it. It was just so
There is
cool to
no
see
way to
that ending
describe
fight.
it.
Like, it was just, it
It's
was
so
epic.
visceral, right? Like, I
Yeah.
can't even. But they're not
It
done
was.
shattering our heart yet, but we'll get to that too. Continue.
Yeah. But no, the way Shuri is, like you said, just like very firm about it. She's like, yield. I'm like, you know what? We're gonna work this out. We're gonna do something. But like, this is not the way, because
Yeah.
the only path forward for our people is just gonna be the wrong one if we keep going down this path,
Yep.
because I think at that point she could kind of recognize like, this is not right for either of us to be like
Yeah.
this hell-bent on vengeance or revenge. And I think she had also come to this, like, to realize by this point that it was like, I can do all these things in the name of the people I love, but it's not going to bring them back, and it's
Yep.
not going to change the way I feel. It's not going to make me feel better, or even if it does, it's going to be like a temporary thing.
Yep.
And I think, I don't know if anybody, like, not to say that like the Talo Khan people don't respect Namor, but I also wonder, like, did anybody tell him that? Because he's been holding on to this grudge for like hundreds of years, and it's a valid thing. I mean, he lost his mom, and you know, they were forced to kind of exile
Leave.
themselves and
Yeah, yeah,
hide
yeah.
and yeah, and like rebuild, and it couldn't have been easy. But it's also like, even if you were to burn the entire surface world, then what? Like, it's not going to bring your mom back. It's not going to change what happened to your
You
people.
can't go back to that place and live there again.
Exactly.
That's not gonna work.
Yeah, so it's like, what is it going to do other than just give you like a 2 second or 2 minute satisfaction of having done it? And then it's like, and now what? So, yeah, watching the end of that fight scene and watching Shuri be like, you know what? This is not the way forward for either of us. And like watching her be like firm and being like, this is what we're going to do. And like, you're going to cooperate. That was really cool to see. Because
It
it wasn't like,
was.
I mean, she was being like, this is what you're going to do and you're going to comply or else. But it also wasn't like she was saying anything unreasonable. She was just saying, like, we're going to make this work. And like, Wakanda will protect your secret. We're not going to tell anybody. But, you know, like, she was just like very, like, matter of fact about it. Like, this is what we're doing. And like,
This is it.
game stop now.
That's
Yeah.
it. Which is incredible. And this is when the healing actually begins because Shuri decides that she may still be Panther, but I don't think she wants to be queen. So she sends M'Baku in her stead, which is again,
Very
let's see how that
bittersweet in my
works out.
opinion.
It is. I wish she
I
was
mean,
queen and Black Panther, but maybe that's her
yeah.
decision to make at this point, I guess.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see like whether or not it's like a long-term thing or like I'm not sure how this works, but I'm
Yeah,
very
we'll
curious
see.
because
We'll see how it plays out.
yeah, but it's also just like, you know, her family has been on the throne for a couple generations
Generations,
now and at minimum. So like it would have been nice to see her continue that tradition in honor of them, but again, it's totally her choice and I respect her for like n doing
Wanting to step
the hard
away
thing. And
for
yeah,
now,
because I feel like also like if I had been in that position, I would have been like, this is like the last connection I have to my family. Like I would want to do it, you know? But I think it was really cool that she recognized that either she didn't want it or she wasn't in the right place for it or that there was somebody better suited for it. And yeah. And also I think just from like a logistical point of view now that like the Black Panther and the leader or slash ruler are like separate entities or people. You
Which
know,
is probably a good
it's
thing, maybe.
yeah, and I mean, if this current saga is anything to go off of, you know that like she's gonna pop up somewhere,
She
and
is.
it most likely won't be in Wakanda, so it'll be really hard for her to be ruling Wakanda when she's not in Wakanda.
I know. But let's also talk about the other thing that broke our hearts all over again. Because
Mid-credit scene.
that and the stuff before, because it's a lot, okay? It's a lot. Because Shuri goes to Nakia, because I love how Nakia's like, you can come to Haiti anytime. You can have a home there with me. I'll be there for you, which is sweet, which is again amazing. And she goes there, but and she finally burns those clothes. And
Yeah.
it's dead silent. And you see all her memories of her brother, which is like, I still gets to you. I can't
It's
do it. I can't do it.
yeah. No, it's very moving. I think again, like we mentioned earlier, like the movie just it cuts sound at random intervals and it hurts so much more. And I, again, that's something Marvel has done really well. It's like they'll either cut the sound at key moments or like they'll play like a recurring theme or
Which
like
is so
motif or whatever. And
important.
it's just like,
Oh my God.
yeah, it's just like, thank you, Marvel. I did not need my heart.
I didn't.
And it's just like,
Oh my
you know, like those
God.
giant tubs of popcorn you get at the movie theater, I could easily have filled like
Fill that
7
with my
million with those. Like,
tears.
yeah, like Phase 4 has just been.
Pain.
So yeah, there's been a lot of funny stuff, but also a lot of like really deep, sad, emotional stuff. And it's just like,
Oh
thanks,
God.
guys.
And
Like,
let's talk about that mid-credit scene though, which is
it
again
changes
chef's kiss.
everything.
It changes everything. 'Cause oh my God, Nakia and T'Challa had a son, and his name is Toussaint, which is so sweet. But
His
decides on the Haitian name. And
Wakanda
Wakanda
name is
name is
T'Challa.
T'Challa, and I'm dead.
I know. And this might be getting into a can of worms that we may or may not want to open, but I love, somebody made a really good point that for all the people on social media clamoring for T'Challa to be recast, they
They can
kind of
shut
did
up now.
recast him.
They can shut up now. Okay? Just shut up now. That's it.
Yeah,
You're
no,
done.
that's a I mean, I can understand why people wanted the character to be recast. I think maybe if this movie came out a couple years later, then it would totally make
Maybe,
sense, but I think it's
maybe.
still kind of
It's
close to
still.
when Chadwick passed that it's just
And
like,
it's too soon. Yeah, exactly. I agree with
to me
you.
it feels too soon, but I have like no ownership of the character, so what
No.
I feel doesn't count. But I don't know. But in a way, I feel like they did kind of recast him, so.
Which is in the most respectful way, I'd have to say. So, but I also want to leave this with a bit of levity because Valentina did get Ross arrested for treason because he was giving Ramonda information. But guess who frees him? Okoye. And I love the first thing that she says is, huh, a colonizer in chains. I really have seen everything. All right. I mean,
Yeah, no,
you
that scene
go
was
on.
really fun. In a weird way, it kind of reminded me of, I think it was a deleted scene in Black Widow where
Ah.
she's like being taken in, and then what's his name? The agent, I'm blanking on his name. He's like, oh, I don't really know like which side you're on.
Ross.
And
Is
like,
that Ross?
was it Ross?
Agent
It could have been
Ross.
Ross. Maybe it was Ross. I forget who I probably was. But he's like kind of sort of kind of taunting Natasha, and he's like,
The
I never
other
know which
Ross,
side
not
you're
this,
on.
not Everett Ross, Thunderbolt Ross. The other guy.
That's what, yeah, not this Ross. Yeah, like there's a bit where, like she's like taken in after they like blow up the Red Room and they're talking, and he's like, I can't get a read on you. And he's like going this whole spiel about how it's like, who is she really and do they really know her? And he's like, he looks behind him, and then like the car is empty, like she's just gone.
Of
So I'm like, the
course.
poor driver, like he's
Of
probably just like
course.
got a drop off, and he looks behind him. He's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But no, that scene was really funny where Okoye was just like, all right, hop out, like we're going. And Ross is just like, I have no idea what's going on, but okay.
Okay. Again, this is like, sup, colonizer? We're gonna deal with some shit. Let's go. Oh my God, guys. If it wasn't clear already, we absolutely adored this movie. It was amazing. All things good. Just, I cannot say that enough. I would
It's
go watch it.
emotional, but
Oh my
so
God.
good.
Yes, yes,
So good.
yes, yes, it is. And props to the entire cast and crew for this movie. They just blew it out of the park and gave
Give
us,
them all the awards. The crew,
yeah,
especially, I feel
like,
like crew always get overlooked, but like, not that our shout out counts for anything, but shout out to the crew for their
yeah.
amazing
Oh
job,
my God.
because
Yes.
that
Just
was fantastic.
phenomenal. Absolutely
Yeah.
amazing. Words will not do it justice, guys. You have to
No.
experience this to feel the way that we did. I just go watch this movie. Just watch it, experience it, feel all the feels, because it will break you in the best possible way. I will not say anything else. And next week, I think we're diving into all things phase four.
It's something a little bit different, in the sense I think normally we just do like one piece of something. But Wakanda Forever was the last entry in phase
In phase
four, and
four,
phase four has
yes.
been very interesting in our
Oh
opinions.
God, yes.
So yeah, next week we are discussing or like reviewing phase four in its entirety now that we've seen all the TV
All of
shows,
it.
all the movies.
Yep.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of look back on phase four and see where it started and where it ended up and how much
Where it
pain they really
started,
forced us
how
through.
it ended, where's how it started, how it's going. Death,
Yeah.
dead, tears.
I know.
Anyway, thank you guys for sticking with us. We really appreciate you. If you've stuck around through this entire episode, again, we really appreciate you, and we will see you again for a review of the MCU's Phase 4 next week. Thank you guys.
Thank you. As always, our lovely theme song is Water Lily by the 126ers. The Nerdy Podcasts podcast is available on Anchor, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and you can follow us online at nerdy-podcasts.tumblr.com or at nerdypodcasts.wordpress.com.